Valiant Patriots worldwide in defense of our liberty.
That's right, people. Welcome to the War Room. Today is tax day. That's where we... I think we work till about May of every year to pay our taxes, is what ends up being. When you look at all the taxes we pay. So, everybody bow down. I know we were told we were going to get rid of the IRS and get tariffs. But instead we got the Iran war, right? And who warned us about the Iran war? In fact, I just retweeted this from InfoWars fan. He said, just remember in June 2025, so almost a year ago today, Jones predicted all this would happen, that war with Iran would destroy Trump's base and will put the establishment that wants forever wars in the driver's seat. Who likes forever wars? Military-industrial complex. What do they run? Just about everything in this country. So let's go to that clip first. And we got a big show. I got a jam-packed show. We're going to have Harrison Smith in studio with me down below in our podcast area. We're in the backup studio at this point, just trying to run through all the kinks, but we are going out live to everyone out there at InfoWars, at Real Alex Jones, and InfoWars.com/shows where you can find all these streams. So let's go. Here's Alex's prediction. He said this was all going to happen. Here it is.
I support Trump until the last few days, about 98%. And when he does something I don't agree with, I say it because I'm not a cult. The Democrats have been the ones acting like a cult. And so for any populists or conservatives that think, oh, you're not supposed to criticize Trump, that that's somehow betraying Trump or turning against Trump, that's ridiculous. You know, you can agree with your wife or your husband about, you know, 95% of stuff, but if you disagree with them on something, it doesn't mean you're getting a divorce. My issue here is that this is the one big issue of escalating forever wars into nuclear war with the different war games and actuaries all going from bad to worse. This will, in all the research and political studies, destroy Trump's base and will drive them away from him and will kill the economy and will put the establishment that wants forever wars in the driver's seat. Now, Trump wants to show strength to Russia and China. And this has all come to a head with Iran. And Iran didn't make the deal. And now the U.S. forces are built up all around it. And the big tankers are deployed. And the aircraft carriers. And I've got my sources. So does Tucker. So does Bannon. The U.S. could do a massive strike as early as Thursday. Trump has told the people of Tehran and other major cities to evacuate. And just the last hour, Trump put out these cryptic statements. We now have complete and total control over the skies of Iran. That means the U.S. does. That means we're at war with them. Trump, unconditional surrender. Then this threat. We know exactly where the so-called supreme leader is hiding. He is an easy target, but is safe there. We are not going to take him out, kill, at least not for now. But we don't want missiles shot at civilians or American soldiers. Our patience is wearing thin. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
So there you go, right there. Back in June, it was June 17th of 2025, Alex Jones, and that was during the time, right about the time we made those, that bombing, the daring bombing raid with our 30-something hour flight round trip. So you can see Jones already figured out what was going on and could kind of read the tea leaves. And so we'll have more. We're going to talk a little more about Iran. We're going to talk about Trump wanting to bring back FISA. You know, spying on him wasn't enough to try and the Russia hoax. We got to have more.
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome, everyone, to the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. You can follow me on X at News News, D-E-W-S-N-E-W-Z. And we are here in the backup studios where we may find ourselves at the beginning of May coming up. But who knows? Stranger things have happened. We've been kicked out of our old studios before. We've had the internet cut. We've had armed security try to throw us out. Hasn't happened yet, but we think this is going to be the end. When they stop paying bills, it's not looking good. There's like an air conditioning unit that's not working, and we're trying to get a company to come out there, and they're like, hey, can you pay your other two times we came out? So it's kind of apropos that everything's just kind of crumbling at the Central Texas Command Center as we get ready to launch into a, what they call those escape pods. This is kind of an escape pod situation. You know, I'm here in this studio. We have a podcast studio downstairs, and there's a couple of little control areas. But you know what? We don't need that much to get this information out. And so that's what people are looking for, and that's what we're going to give them. So Trump put out a Truth Social post yesterday at 1:12. Let's see, when did the White House? The White House put it out at 1:12. And he says, I'm working very hard with our great speaker, Mike Johnson, along with Chairman Jim Jordan and Chairman Rick Crawford to get a clean extension on FISA 702 through the House of Representatives this week. President Donald John Trump. And let's see if I got the full thing right here. Yeah. We need to stick together when this bill comes to the House Rules Committee today and keep it clean. I don't know what that means. I was a victim of the worst and most illegal abuse of FISA in our nation's history by the radical left lunatics who lied to the FISA court. Now, that's what you got to ask yourself. Do you really think that they were lied to? Or do you think that the judges could see what was going on and go, hey, you know what? We don't like Trump either. We're dimtards. You're dimtards. We work together. So we don't care if you lie. We're going to have a don't ask, don't tell policy. And so, yeah, sure, we'll rubber stamp whatever you want. Oh, you got a guy in another country that's talking to somebody? Sure, you could go after that other person because that's basically what FISA allows. And that's what this is going to allow. So the radical left lunatics who lied to the FISA court to spy on my 2016 presidential campaign and attempt to rig the election in favor of crooked Hillary Clinton. Their use of this instrument in the 2020 presidential election was even worse. When the dirty cop James Comey and failed head of the FBI went after me, he was using FISA Title I, the domestic collection, not FISA 702, the foreign collection. Well, that's wrong. That's how they were getting him in 2016. Does he not remember that? Where did Russia come from? It came from people outside the U.S. communicating with people inside the U.S., which allowed other bad actors in the Five Eyes to spy on those people and then give us the intelligence. Cause that's basically what's going on. This is just to keep Five Eyes to spying on everybody. And then they just trade intelligence like baseball cards. The foreign collection, which needs to be extended today, while parts of FISA were illegally and unfortunately used against me in the Democrats' disgraceful wind shut and attack in the Russia hoax. And perhaps they will be used against me in the future. Yeah. So that's why we need to keep it open, right? I am willing to risk that as a citizen in order to do what's right for our country. Yes, because we need, illegal spying. That's what our country is apparently becoming. Our military desperately needs FISA 702, as it is one of the reasons we've had such tremendous success on the battlefield. So FISA is just a, I guess, just a conduit for Israel to go in and spy on people, both in Venezuela and Iran. Since the first day of my already historic second term, my administration has worked tirelessly to ensure these FISA reforms are being aggressively executed at every level of the executive branch to keep Americans safe while protecting our sacred civil liberties. BS. Guaranteed by our great constitution. With the ongoing successful military activities against the terrorist Iranian regime, it is more important than ever that we remain vigilant, protect our homeland troops and diplomats stationed abroad, and maintain our ability to quickly stop bad actors seeking to cause harm to our people of the country. In fact, whether you like FISA or not, it's extremely important to our military. And I've spoken to many generals about this, and they all consider it vital. Not one even tactically said they can do without it, especially right now with our brilliant military operation in Iran. Thank you for your attention to this matter. I wonder if General Flynn thinks the same way. That'd be interesting to hear. Guys, see if General Flynn has actually commented on this. Justin Amash, former congressman, did comment on this, and he hasn't liked Trump, so I kind of take this with a grain of salt. But he is mostly right with this. The man who spent years whining that the government illegally spied on his campaign is now demanding Congress let him spy on every American without a warrant. The FISA 702 is a real threat to Americans' privacy. Warrantless surveillance of U.S. persons under the guise of targeting foreigners. Far bigger than the Title I abuse Trump complains about. Stop electing hypocrites who trash the Constitution. Tell Congress vote no on FISA 702. And I agree. They're, you know, they have the NSA. They're doing all these other things. For them to go in front of these judges and say, oh, we need to pass, you know, be able to spy on everybody. Because what they do is use the foreign person that they're looking at to basically go after people domestically. In fact, this is what Donald Trump said in May 27th of 2020. If the FISA bill is passed tonight on the House floor, I will quickly veto it. Our country has suffered through the greatest political crime in history. The massive abuse of FISA was a big part of it. But now he wants it. So 6 years later, it's almost 6 years later, he's like, no, FISA is good. I've talked to the generals. The generals need to spy on people. So there is that. Guys, did y'all go to that tweet? There were some memes that were under the White House tweet. I think people were responding with some pretty interesting memes. If y'all have those, bring them up. And if you don't, just say we don't have them and I will move on. I won't tread water any longer. What's that you say? Okay. All right. So I will continue while we're there looking for those. I'll go to, these are a few InfoWars articles. Harrison was covering this. Trump anticipates Chinese leader will give him a big fat hug. You know, I don't know. I think China's probably pretty pissed that their oil daddy Iran is being messed with, because they pay really cheap prices for oil because they have kind of a more or less exclusive deal with Iran. Iran, you know, delivers to a lot of people, but China gets a lot of their oil from Iran coming out of Karg Island, which is not a huge operation. I went and looked at it. I looked at it a few weeks ago when they're talking about invading Karg Island. I'm like, let's look at this island. Not very big. It's got some, it's got about 50 oil, containers and then some little offshoot ports where they can dock ships and, you know, fill them up and send them out. China is very happy that I'm permanently closing the Strait of Hormuz. This is what Trump said. I'm doing it for them as well and the world. The situation will never happen again. They have agreed not to send weapons to Iran. President Xi will give me a big fat hug when I get there in a few weeks. We are working together smartly and very well. Doesn't that beat fighting? But remember, we are very good at fighting if we have to, far better than anyone else. And a lot of this stuff is bravado. People, you know, get freaked out about this, but that's kind of how Trump has been running since he started running. And we liked it when he was going against Jeb Bush and just decimating the field in that first primary. And then even the second primary, he did good. And in terms of knocking these people back, which wasn't very hard. We just needed somebody to get up and just start talking the truth. Guys, if you can find this video, epic high school principal tackles shooter takes a bullet to the leg while saving staff and students. Oklahoma high school principal is being hailed as a hero after tackling a gunman and preventing a potentially deadly shooting last week. That was posted about 2:38 today, so I guess this finally came out. Surveillance footage shows Paw Valley High School principal Kirk Moore open a door and charge at 20-year-old Victor Lee Hawkins. Doesn't seem like he's in high school, does it? But there he is. He had a pair of handguns and pointed them at a student sitting on a bench. Moore is seen pinning him down to the assistant principal since assists him in disarming the suspect. The principal was shot in the leg during the fight and is recovering. That's almost like a movie when that happened. There it is right there. Boom. And went for the guns. I guess that's, you know, when you're in these situations, go for the gun. Even if it does go off, it will hopefully won't be aimed at you. His principals look like they don't push their chair away from the buffet table too much. I'll tell you that. So he walked in the lobby, told everybody hit the ground and tried to shoot one student, but he was thwarted. This is in an affidavit. Hawkins reportedly addressed the firearms malfunction and started to fire at another student, but missed. So his gun malfunctioned. He might have had the safety on. And then Moore entered the scene and tackled the shooter. So whoever had the gun pointed at him and misfired, say your prayers tonight, man, because God saved your ass. Fortunately, didn't save this guy. DHS employee brutally murdered by suspect nationalized by the Biden regime. So the UK citizen was Alu Kaitan Aban Abel. He's got a lengthy rap sheet. Of course, we can't get rid of these people when they come in. And he pulled down the female victim's pants after shooting and stabbing her while she was walking her dog in a Georgia neighborhood. Trying to see when the date was this. Suspect was identified. He was naturalized in 2022. What was that? Okay. So this happened on Monday in DeKalb County. Just before 1 a.m., a woman, are you out walking at 1 a.m.? Priyana, excuse me, Priyana Weathers, 31, was shot and killed outside the Checkers restaurant in Decatur. Oh, that was another part of the killing spree. And then Lauren Bullis was walking her dog near her home at 7 a.m. Wow. Deport all illegals. Deport them. And this guy is a criminal. He doesn't get to be in the country anymore. He's got a lengthy rap sheet, but what are we doing? You know, send ICE after that guy. Here's another fellow we're watching spiral down. I guess he wants to show the world what happens when you get too much fame too quickly. Looks masking influencer. What's his name? Clavicular. Says he's okay after hospitalization for suspected OD on live stream. So these Gen Zers are trying to put everything that they do out there. And so instead of having a private moment with his doctor and his friends, like, man, I really screwed up, he's putting it all out there on for the whole world to see. So while we don't wish anyone to die, don't be stupid. And you guys said you found those memes. So let's go going back to the White House FISA memes. Let's throw those up there and you can just scroll. I was looking at them earlier and I was just like, my God, some of these are really funny. There's MAGA, grifters, panicans, libertarians, and Nazis. That's actually some guy who is a fan of the FISA, President Trump and America First movement. Yeah, that's right. Spying on people is part of it. Let's see, you'd let Trump fart in your mouth and say it tastes like cotton candy, you retarded. Well, let's go scroll back and let's read what that person said. Now go back the other way, the one with the donut in his mouth. Keep going. Right there. Remember when the Doomer fags said Trump wasn't doing anything about FISA? They get to eat another SHIT sandwich. That's right, because leaving the loophole open for the government to spy on you is eating an SHIT sandwich. All right, let's see some more memes. There's going to be more. We must have this stuff go around the earth before it gets to you guys. Are y'all hearing me clearly? Oh, we can't bring it back up? Oh, we can. Okay. Yeah, just leave this up and let's scroll through them slowly. All right, we got that one. That guy gets to fart in his mouth. And there's the persistence says, thanks you, President Trump. And then Jack Posobiec says, restore the Fourth Amendment. Does this mean MAGA is not only dead, but brain dead now? Okay. He's extending it, not crushing it. That's a betrayal. Yeah, I like how he's trying to say the 702 is not going to be used. Kamala will send your children to war. Stop wars. Vote Trump Vance. Yeah, interesting. Keep going. Yeah, there's a bunch of like picture memes, but I guess they've all been shuffled down to the bottom. So whatever. We're moving on. Let's move on to Eric Swalwell. We don't have as big a desk, so I have to like be very careful with my here's a meme. I'm going to win this one. Look at that right there. Y'all remember Family Circus? It was like a one panel comic strip back in the day. Well, now it's called Pepe Circus. And, it's about, I think there's four kids in this family and the parents, and they're trying to, you know, it's quasi Christian. And this one, the older brother is, he said dudes can get pregnant. So I knocked his retarded ass out. I kind of think that's funny. I would love to see Pepe Circus get syndication. And that would really, really piss a lot of people off that read newspapers. All right, let's go to Eric Swalwell. Oh, that's Boasberg. That's another one. I'll get into that in a little bit. So this has happened yesterday. Another Eric Swalwell accuser came forward. Of course, we know Swalwell has left basically Congress, and he's left running for the governor of California. So now that's kind of getting thrown up. And what people are saying, at least I have a Stephen Miller clip that we'll go to in a second. And that one is, it's going to be 15 when we go to it. Don't go to it yet. And then we'll go to this other one. But this happens all the time in Washington. You've got a guy that you know is dirty, you know is corrupt, you know is a liar, you know is double dealing, you know he's effing Chinese spies. And what do they get him on? Oh, having sex with a prostitute. And like sexually assaulting his campaign staff. And I'm not saying that's not bad. But we never get the real goods. We never get the fact that we know this guy. Most likely, I would say 90% chance he's CIA working with John Brennan, trying to destroy the country from within, total communist. But we don't get any of that. No, that always gets hidden, and it's kind of covered up when you listen to what Stephen Miller is saying with he was on with Jesse Waters. So here's that clip. This is clip 15.
Has the president said anything about Swalwell? I don't know if he's said anything. Has he been following that?
Why, has he had a bad week, Jesse? I haven't been watching.
He might be busy.
Has anything gone
with bigger matters of war and peace?
Couldn't have happened to a better person. But look, here's the most important thing if we have 10 seconds on this, and I'm sure you would agree with this. The most important part about this story, and look, Swalwell is a scumbag. He is a terrible person, the worst of the worst, the lowest of the low, the most dishonest and the most dishonest. But the real story here is how the Democrat Party controls its members through blackmail. It's got a blackmail file on all of its politicians, and it uses them to leverage and control them until it's time to release it. That is how sick and twisted the Democrat Party is. That's the next thread we've got to pull out here, Jim.
Turn blossom.
And so that part there is right on the money. They do have these guys under blackmail, which is how they get them to say stupid things like men are women and men can compete against women in sports because they're all blackmailed. Who is it? Adam Schiff. One of his main donors is in jail right now for drugging black men and raping them. One of them died while he was doing this in California. So let's roll this, and you can keep a little bit of the music. This is from Johnny St. Pete at Johnny McCloy. I believe Sir Eric Swalwell is a CIA asset. Watch until the end. Start rolling this video and I'll start talking over. Remember when General Flynn said he knew for a fact Brennan was working with people inside the government? What if I told you that Swalwell was sacrificed in push out and an op to try and slow down the focus on Brennan possibly being indicted? And so what we're seeing now is Brennan being questioned. It started off with Sean Penn working with the Ukrainian dictator and Swalwell, and they're all going over there, and they're all buddies and pals. And Sean Penn's part of this whole operation, too. What if I told you Brennan was likely feeding Swalwell questions a year ago during the fake Russia collusion hoax? And we're going to get to that here. Let's listen in on Flynn.
Bring his ass in. Bring his ass in. The U.S. Marshal Service needs to go arrest that man. This coup d'etat that is continuing to ongo here against the United States of America. The guy who's at the head of it is John Brennan. And John Brennan, and I hope he's listening because I know he does. He knows exactly. Sometimes when I put stuff out, I get all kinds of hate mail, right, from different people. Yeah, with his shit-eating grin. President Trump actually could and should bring this guy in immediately. Put him under the lights and have him answer questions about what he's been doing. Now, let me tell you what I know that he's been doing, okay? John Brennan has been colluding with people inside of our government. Okay, what I just said is very damaging and very damning. So inside of our government, he's been colluding with people outside of the government that recently served in our government to undermine not only President Donald J. Trump, but to undermine the United States of America. So, play that again a couple of times, folks. Listen again to what Mike Flynn just said, because what I just said is a very true statement. Donald J. Trump needs to address the nation. He needs to get his team in prior, and he needs to go out. He needs to go through with them. I want to know everything that you're doing to get after these issues.
Are you aware of what the Bureau has briefed this committee with respect to evidence?
Here's Swalwell asking,
I watched Jim Comey's hearing and his comments, and I've gone through his transcript, so I'm aware of it, yes.
Are you aware of what the FBI has briefed this committee in a classified setting with respect to evidence collusion?
No, I'm not. Totally not.
Director, May 10th of this year produced an unsettling image inside the Oval Office. President Trump standing and laughing with Russia's Ambassador Kislyak and Foreign Minister Lavrov. It's been further reported that President Trump shared highly sensitive code word information with Russia, putting at risk U.S. lives and jeopardizing sources and methods. Director, are the Russians worthy of receiving such information in the manner alleged?
I believe it's important for the U.S. Intelligence to provide to any of our foreign partners any information related to terrorist threats to foreign countries or their citizens. And that's why I authorized the provision of classified information numerous times to the Russians that I believe saved Russian lives. As I mentioned, there is an appropriate manner and procedure for doing that. They need to be followed scrupulously so that there's not going to be a undermining of those collection capabilities and systems.
Director, you warned Bortnikov that there would be consequences if they meddled in our elections. When you look at that picture and the manner in which allegedly classified information was conveyed to the Russians, do you see consequences for their actions?
Again, I don't know the totality of the actions that have been taken against the Russians. I know that, again, the Obama administration in January took actions against them.
Director, with respect
to the
contract.
We're going to pick this up on the other side of the break, and I'm going to read through this thread here that just shows these weird consulting fees being paid to Swalwell. They're basically flushing an asset down the toilet. This has nothing to do. The Democrats love.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades, so they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research, the human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer, but they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our ultra methylene blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Coming up in the third hour, I'm going to have Joe Biggs on. He just announced last night that the government has vacated his charges. He can have his guns back. He's going to get his military benefits, travel the world. So basically, he's a free man. I posted that last night. It was pretty late when I posted it. What time was that? Yeah, 2 a.m. Yeah, I should have been sleeping. But I was up and I was happy to see that. I actually saw that on Facebook and I moved it over to Twitter and I called him, texted him this morning and said, you want to come on and talk about it? He's like, yeah, let's do it. And next hour, I'm going to go downstairs to the podcast studio. We're going to have Harrison Smith on. We're going to talk about what's going on in, Ireland. And I've got some other things where I think we're going to talk about Trump's. I think he did a really good job the other day on Monday going after the Pope. And the Pope, you know, worshiping with the Muslims at places where the Muslims were, you know, basically massacring Christians and saying, you know, this is a religion of peace. And I don't know if I saw this or dreamed it, but I think Tucker might have posted something about how Muslims are like our friends or something. And I'm not saying Muslims are bad, but I also wouldn't necessarily say going around like the Islamic religion is our friend. But, and I'm going to get back into this, Eric Swalwell piece because this is interesting. This has nothing to do with sexcapades. This has to do with, we got a guy that we think is going to squeal. So we're going to ship him on out. We don't trust him like we do Gavin Newsom. But before we do that, the way we are supported here is when you go to the alexjonesstore.com, we were coming back from break, you saw some of the t-shirts from the 1776 limited edition collection. There they are again. They got 1776 on the shoulder, the stacked InfoWars logo that you see there as the bug, the cube 3D bug twirling around on the bottom left hand of your screen can now be on a shirt. We got them in camo. I'm wearing one right now. That's like, it's like navy blue with the red InfoWars stacked logo. May 1st, you're not gonna be able to get these. This is your last chance to go there and get those right now. And I would encourage you to become a VIP, because when you become a VIP, you pay $30 a month, but you get $40 to spend at the store. I would say probably these shirts aren't going to last, especially some of the cooler designs aren't going to last. But we also have this new special offer. If you've tried the CMOS and haven't tried the Shilajit, or if you've tried the Shilajit and haven't tried the CMOS, if you subscribe to Shilajit, then you get your first month of CMOS capsules for free. Or if you subscribe to CMOS, you get your first month of Shilajit capsules for free. So it's your chance to try out both products. Check it out at thealexjonesstore.com without paying full price. That is a limited time offer. Also, we have another subscription offer. If you subscribe to the Ultimate Energy or Ultimate Chill, these are, I wouldn't say basic products, but they don't have a ton of ingredients. You don't need a lot. One's got caffeine and L-theanine to give you a burst of energy, but keep it smooth. And then the Ultimate Chill, that's Ultimate Energy. Ultimate Chill has ashwagandha root with a little magnesium and the L-theanine to kind of chill you out at the end of the night. Maybe take it a couple hours before you go to bed, get a great night's sleep. You could subscribe to either one or both for $16.99 a month for the first 1,000 people. So 1,000 people can lock that price in for life if you stay subscribed. After that, the price is going to go to $24.99 when you subscribe to it. So check that out now. Also, this is going to be your last 2 weeks to get the InfoWars cooler bundle. We don't have too many more of those left. It's 60% off. You're going to save about $100. It's about $80 right now, $79.99. VIP members pay $63.99. So the ultimate portable cooler. I was telling people yesterday how I use it as a carry-on bag. So, you know, if you go traveling somewhere, boom, you have your cooler with you. You don't have to worry about buying a cooler or scrounging a cooler up. You've got one as your carry-on. And then when you're done, all you do is dump the ice out, dry it out with a towel, and you put your stuff back in. It's good to go. But it also comes with some polarized sunglasses and some InfoWars koozies. Very thick insulation there, almost like sort of like a what you'd see with, you know, Yeti type coolers, but in that soft form factor with the zipper around the top. I think Rob Aguirre has mine, my old Yeti that's like this, that he ended up with it somehow in his car. And I still haven't seen it back, and I know he's got it. But let's move on. I could hear him from in here. It's okay, Rob. You can have it. I've got plenty of coolers. I'm a big fan of the cooler carry-on bag when you're traveling. So that's a little travel hack. It's another travel hack that, you know, some of these body scanners, if you can't lift both arms up, like this arm I can lift up. This one, I got a bad shoulder. I can't lift it up. So I go, hey, I can't, you know, the body scanners, at least the older ones, you have to have both arms up like this. I can't do that. So they take you out of the body scanner and bring you through the, or before you get in the body scanner, they bring you through the, what's it called, the metal detector, and then they just swab your hands to see if you're making bombs or something. I don't know why they do that, but I guess it's something that has to do with bomb making material. They just want to see what's on your hands. It's a little travel hack. Works for me. Let's go back to Eric Swalwell. I want to finish reading this. You just saw as we were going to break, Swalwell like throwing softball questions to John Brennan, making him look like, oh, so admit that you've given information to the Russians, but say you did it the right way, right? You get to say you did it the right way. What if I told you that Brennan was likely feeding Swalwell questions years ago during a fake collusion hoax? Now, what if I told you Swalwell and Brennan both went to the premiere of a film called Words of War, which is an anti-Russian Putin film about a journalist? And guess who else was there? Bob Woodward. They were all on a panel. They're on the panel at the end of the film. What if I told you Sean Penn was there as the producer? Yes, Sean Penn went to Ukraine to give Zelensky his Oscar. You saw that in the beginning of the video. You could see him pulling out the Oscar, giving it to Zelensky, because the Hollywood is used by the CIA to indoctrinate. And what if the other film that was pushed and given awards this year, the anti-ICE film, one battle after another? It's amazing how they knew that there was going to be ICE raids, and they went and produced this film and shot it before the ICE raids even happened. Isn't that amazing how they just knew what was going to happen? Guess who else was in that film? Sean Penn. Remember, he was the racist. If you've seen the film, I'm going to go ahead and spoiler alert it for you. He was the racist. I had to watch it so me and Jones could show clips on it. It was, God, terrible movie. But Sean Penn was the racist colonel, or I think he was a colonel, who ended up impregnating one of the revolutionaries, one of the commies, and then his daughter is born, and who Leonardo DiCaprio is raising, thinking it's his daughter, and she wasn't. So where did all that money come from? I believe the deep staters had compromised Swalwell for years. They had pulled his card, orchestrated a takedown to deflect because they want to sacrifice him as red meat to distract from the higher-ups. Remember, Pelosi is retiring. John Solomon said yesterday the walls are closing in on Brennan, which I don't think they're going to do anything to Brennan because they would have done it already if they were. They'll likely make a deal to keep Swalwell quiet on collusion and the Jan 6 operation. They know he's the weak link and are afraid someone of giving up all the cards. The machine and Obama want their billionaire Steyer. That's Tom Steyer, who basically has put out his thing where he said, we're going to go after ICE. We're going to prosecute ICE leaders in California because we don't like them removing our criminals. We need our criminals to keep, you know, California a shithole. That's literally what he wrote in his screed, in more words than less. So they can kill two birds with one stone. So they get Swalwell out of the governor's race. They got Tom Steyer, who they know they can control, and they couldn't risk Swalwell in there. So they threw him away just to show how easy it is. And if he keeps quiet, all this is going to go away. All this will get dropped. You know, they always have a stable of women ready to appear out of nowhere and go, I was raped. And I'm not saying these people were raped or they weren't, but they always have them ready. And that he looks like he's with a hooker. That's the hooker. Like, you got to ask yourself, who gets a hooker and then brings their friend in and say, hey, film some of this for blackmail later? I mean, there's obviously a dude standing there or a woman standing there filming that. So Eric Swalwell, who sits on the House Intel Committee, House Intel Committee executively produced Worlds of War, a film romanticizing Anna Politkovskaya as a heroic journalist murdered by Putin. Ex-CIA Director John Brennan showed up at the National Press Club screening with Bob Woodward to hype it as a brave press freedom truth-telling. In reality, she was a partisan activist whose paper took Open Society funding, Soros Open Society funding. That was her newspaper that she worked with. She hammered Russian actions in Chechnya while downplaying the Chechen terrorists like Beslan and the Moscow theater siege. Did Putin ever take it out? Maybe, but let's not pretend she was anything than another asset of the globalists who chose which horrors to document. And there's also Swalwell's pocketing $32,000 a year in administrative office work for Schmersh LLC, Spycraft Entertainment, run by retired CIA officers John Cypher and Johnny O'Shea. Those guys recently had Christopher Steele on their podcast. And so who was Christopher Steele? He was the guy who Hillary Clinton funded the Steele dossier with, which was used to basically set up the spying network and create the Russia hoax. So let's watch the rest of that video with old Eric Swalwell so we can see who he really is. He's not what you think. He's not just a creepy dude who probably couldn't get anything, but because he's empowered by the Dimtards to just prey on women. But that's just his weakness. Here's the rest of that clip.
And in this case, when did it?
I guess it's all sort of very sui generis as far as the instances are concerned. But as I said, there was a backdrop there of known Russian efforts to interfere in an election.
It's the same actors all the way through. You got Eric Swalwell, you got Adam Schiff, you got John Brennan. You've got this whistleblower who starts with Biden all the way back in 2014 and 15, and is still going in 2019 and 20. I think you're going to see a new attorney general, the current FBI, who wrote the
conspiracy case memo and the team down in Florida really escalate their move towards a large conspiracy case. I think you'll see in the next month two big things, a decision on whether to indict John Brennan for obstructing Congress. That's a big name. That's a big charge. And they're looking at some new evidence that came from the National Security Advisor, the President Trump, Mike Rogers, and possibly bringing new charges against James Comey. There's a lot of activity on that. And then when you start to get those people under indictment, you may make a deal. Once you get one insider to flip, just like you do in the mob or the drug cartels, you then are able to put all the conspirators together in one big conspiracy.
Your shakeup in the race for Governor Eric Swalwell is out. In just a few days, Swalwell had gone from being a front runner in this race for governor to fighting accusations that have upended his 20-year career in Congress.
And there are also calls now for Swalwell to resign or be removed from Congress by fellow lawmakers.
Breaking news, because the five gets results, maybe. Eric Swalwell is resigning from Congress.
President Obama calls a meeting of his National Security Council, his top officials, to be held on what they called a sensitive topic. And the results of that meeting, which we released yesterday in these over 100 documents that talk about in detail how President Obama and his team, he directed a manufactured piece of intelligence that detailed not if, but how Russia tried to influence the outcome of the United States election that President Trump won in November of 2016. This document was then used as the foundation for everything that came next. It was essentially a years-long coup that was launched against President Trump before he even had the opportunity to take his oath of office and be sworn in as President of the United States. So, as you know, there was a Mueller investigation that went on for years, cost taxpayers nearly $40 million. There were two congressional impeachments. President Trump and almost every member of his family were smeared and attacked, faced lawsuits, depositions. High-level officials were investigated. Some were arrested and put in jail. The list goes on and on about the ramifications of this, but foundational to it all was the fact that we had in President Obama and his leadership team people who did not want to accept the will of the American people in electing Donald Trump in 2016 and therefore cooked up this treasonous conspiracy to, again, try to effectively, and they did effectively, launch a years-long coup against the sitting president of the United States. No one, no matter who they are, no matter how high up they are or how powerful they may be, no matter who the intelligence officials or professionals were who were a part of this treasonous conspiracy, there must be accountability. The truth must be shown to the American people in order to ensure that there is this faith and trust and integrity in our democratic republic for the sake of the future of our country. But these documents detail, to me, in my view, cannot be explained as anything but a treasonous conspiracy.
Man, I tell you, I really got to suck in some hopium. I got one more. Oh, that feels so good. I give my little hopium fix on, because that's kind of how I feel. I don't feel really much is going to happen, but we are, we do need it every once in a while, right? Hopium gets you through the day. It would be nice if we really went after these deep state actors. I have no faith in the DOJ to do anything. I mean, you got Kash Patel, who's decided he's more interested in going to see his international country superstar girlfriend and hang out with the hockey teams than actually do anything and not look at any foreign influence into Charlie Kirk's assassination. And now we have Todd Blanche, the man who basically stopped the weaponization of government committee out of the DOJ. The subset of the DOJ stopped them from working. So there it is. But all right, as we end this segment, we're going to go back in time. For a man who was never afraid to confront people, this is back to the 2016, the start of the GOP convention, Alex Jones versus Karl Rove. This will take you back almost 10 years ago. Here it is.
Third Blossom. I am a friend. You know that.
Right? Don't touch me again. Do not touch me again. Do you understand?
I'm trembling and friendly.
No, do not touch me again.
Well, sure. Hold on.
You do that and you're in trouble.
Come on, TB. I'm your friend.
Alex Jones here reporting for InfoWars.com. We just arrived. It is Sunday evening in the twilight here in Cleveland. The RNC officially kicks off tomorrow. We're going to be here all week covering what's happening. We've got rallies. We've got aircraft in the air with Hillary for President signs. We've got trucks traveling around town, Hillary for President. We are fighting hard to try to keep this master criminal from taking over our government. I didn't come here to dig up old skeletons that were in the George W. Bush administration. People know I was a big critic of that administration. Obama's been about three times worse, quite frankly. But it doesn't matter. One of the main architects of the incredible corruption, the amnesty plans, the assault weapons ban they supported is Karl Rove. But I saw him at the Dallas airport before he boarded the plane to come here, because I was flew from Austin to Dallas, was about to fly to Cleveland. And my camera crew and folks were like, hey, man, you really ought to go over and ask Karl Rove some questions. So I was like, listen, we had a reporter like 5-6 years ago just asked a question. He had him arrested in Austin. And I said, what's the point? And they said, well, you know, all the things he's done. I said, okay, I'll go over there, but I'm going to be nice. So I go over there, and he's like, I'm not talking to you. I work for Fox News, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I'm like, listen, even Donald Trump said giving money to you for your super PACs is like throwing it away, because it's like the guy works for Hillary or something. I mean, he works for the Bushes that vacation with the Clintons. So I asked him about that. He ran over to the ticket counter, called the police. Security came, but they said, look, you didn't do anything. Just leave him alone. Don't do anything on the plane. So he said, fine. I just asked him a few questions. It's America. Then we get off the plane in Cleveland. He's coming down the concourse. I asked him about his quote about, we're history's actors. The truth doesn't matter. Remember, he told the New York Times and Washington Post that he controls reality. So I thought it was funny, him carrying his own bags and him dropping stuff, you know. I go to the baggage claim where, again, there's Karl Rove. I only talked to him once, but then, boom, he's at the baggage claim. So I go on and talk to him again. And this time, he gets really pissed. He's totally ignoring me. I've got fans there. He's got people that support him. We're all talking. He's ignoring the fact that I'm there. And I'm saying, listen, you say you control reality. You can't dodge this question. You say facts don't matter. You are history's actor. You're basically God. Talk to me. So he won't talk to me. So I'm like, come on, Karl. I'm a friend. Barely patting. And he just blows up. It was pretty crazy. So I'm going to show you this video right now. But that's not why we're in Cleveland. But it just does illustrate just how removed from reality these people are and how they think they can play God. They're just normal people like us. But quite frankly, we're going to be reporting tonight and tomorrow on the tragic deaths of the police officers in Baton Rouge, that these were folks that came from outside the area, from other states to come kill police in Baton Rouge, because Obama, at the ceremony for the dead police officers, the funeral in Dallas, talked about Baton Rouge and Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, where there were some questionable deaths. We know the president, when cops are dead in Dallas, saying, we've got to basically, that this was justice killing cops. You don't just kill random cops from some jurisdiction because some other cop you think did something bad 1,000 miles away. That's crazy. That'd be like a black person committed a crime, just randomly go shoot some black person 1,000 miles away, or if a white person committed a crime, go shoot some random white person 100 miles away or 200 miles away or 1,000 miles away. It's crazy. So we're focusing on the attempt to start a race war. I just think it's interesting that Karl Rove just flips out and thinks he's God and won't talk to the press. I mean, it's a joke. He was talking to everybody else and taking photos, all this other crap. He was schmoozing these delegates. Oh, I forgot one more piece of the story. We're going to go to the video. One more piece. There's just so much that happened. And I've got crew as witnesses to this. He's coming by us in the plane and stops to talk to people that I heard saying they were superdelegates. He's talking to this old group of folks, this old group. Nothing against old people. I love them to death, but these are Fox News folks. I mean, like 85, 90 years old, like reanimated corpses. And they're like, we saw him. He's drunk. He's a troublemaker. We're going to report him. He's like, good job. We saw him. You be sure to report him. He's like, get you, boy. So that's really the reason that when I waited on the concourse, I just couldn't help it. I wanted to ask him the history's actor question because I'd forgotten that one. And then it's like, oh, my God, I went to the bathroom and stuff, so I thought, oh, he's not down there at the baggage. And then it's Karl Rove at the baggage claim. So here is the footage. And, hey, I can scratch that off my to-do list. I have now officially confronted Karl Rove, a serious war criminal. Karl. Karl, are you history's actor for real? Here he is right there. Yeah. Guys, I never met anybody that controls history. Look right there. He said the people are just like almost like Hillary. That's Karl Rove that controls history. He told the New York Times once, he said, I control history. Reality doesn't matter. And we're going to get your guns. We're going to open the borders up. Yes, ma'am. Anyways, Karl, why are you running so much?
More importantly,
why'd you call the cops on us earlier for asking questions? Hey, Karl, why'd you call the cops on us earlier for asking questions? Is it still America, Karl? Look at it right here. This is Carl.
Same time.
Oh, be nice. Totally ignores me. Earlier, ran over the ticket guy. So now I'm talking about
the whole long lobby shirt in the back there. Lurking.
We live in a strange city.
I know.
Can I take a picture with
you? Yeah, come on.
Come on. Ask him about controlling history.
I'm Jimmy Garza's wife.
Hey, Carl.
Nice to see you.
Good. Carl, tell us about controlling history. Or being a history's actor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you get into that by the Screen Actors Guild?
No, not at all. Not
thank
at
you.
All.
You want us to protect you?
Here. He'll take it.
Oh, thank you.
There you go.
Oh, can I have a picture with you, too?
There you go, folks.
Wait, this is a picture of me. There we go.
There we go.
What?
How's Bandar Bush going?
Thank you.
Carl, I can't believe you were so scared to answer questions.
Can I take a picture with you as well? Absolutely. Thank you.
Here at the staff.
Here. Sure, sure you can. There you go. Oh, Carl, that bag's history's actor right there. Inside that bag is the entire planet. That nose hair. Right there is history's actor.
Sorry. What
brand? There we go. He's wearing that mirror. Carl, it's good hanging out with you. I really appreciate your time today. It's like, oh, that's so impressive. All the geriatrics you broadcast to. Very impressive. It's like you're broadcasting to a crypt or a mausoleum or an internment home.
He said to say,
oh,
how are they doing?
You're doing good.
Thank you.
You know, the Undertaker.
We're from Janesville originally. We're neighbors in Florida.
Oh, fantastic.
He's totally friend. Hey, Carl, why don't you call the cops on us earlier?
Really good.
I figured all because I want to have a conversation. I want to get on the plane and get here. But did he go over and call security on us?
He did.
I love Adrian from Hidalgo County.
I love this shirt, Mola Labe.
Right.
On InfoWars.
Available at InfoWarsStore.com.
How are you doing?
Okay. Now, again, you got to do the good and the bad, the Karl Rove and Alex Jones, you know.
Well, right here.
There we go.
Turd Blossom. I am a friend. You know that.
No,
right?
Don't touch me again. Do not touch me again. Do you understand?
Sure, I'm friendly.
No. Do not touch me again.
Well, sure, I want
you to. You do that, you're in trouble.
Well, you already called the cops once. I'm sorry. I didn't
understand?
Know.
Don't touch me again.
Sure, yeah. Well, there you go. It's all on deck, man. He's so angry. I mean, earlier, I didn't even. Turd Blossom. Man. He doesn't like the name Turd Blossom. And I was just asking. That was kind of his button. He kind of triggered him with the social justice warrior.
For those who don't know, Turd Blossom was his name that George Bush gave him. That was his pet name. We'll be right back. Harrison Smith on deck.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Now, here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. InfoWars is 28 years old. America's 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Semi-quintennial. That means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition, America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now at thealexhillstore.com. I'm back because I forgot one point that I want to be very clear about. This is a fundraiser. We need funds to continue on and the new operation. It's urgent. These are historic shirts. You've taken the info over this far. Please take action now. For those of you who have been on the fence over bought anything, dollarstore.com, but have shared links and things, I appreciate you. But come on, folks. We're the tip of the spear. We need you. We need your support. You're the tip of the spear. Thank you so much.
The EU, like a deer in the headlights, stares down shortages now intensely facing Germany.
Many citizens, many medium-sized enterprises, and many businesses in general are under severe strain and have, of course, seen this not only at the petrol stations in recent weeks, but also in terms of energy costs for businesses, whether in the form of fuel or raw materials.
How can we reduce the demand? Because, of course, the least expensive energy is the energy that is not used.
While in the UK, the British economy continues to circle the toilet bowl, according to the IMF.
The International Monetary Fund has downgraded Britain's economic prospects more than any G7 country in its latest update on the state of the global economy.
Front and center, the fallout in Ireland continues after a week of fierce nationwide fuel protests that saw farmers and truckers block refineries, ports, and highways, bringing supply chains to a grinding halt over punishing diesel prices, global shocks, and Michael Martin's coalition carbon tax machine.
Government is now extending the temporary measures to reduce excise duty on petrol, diesel, and marked gas oil from the end of May to the end of July, postponing the increase in carbon tax from May until the budget in October.
The willful obstruction of public roads and the movement of vehicles and persons are offenses under various statutes, including the Public Order Act and Road Traffic Acts. As part of our well-established graduated policing response in dealing with protests, Angarda Síochána is now moving to an enforcement phase in relation to those impacting on critical infrastructure unless they decease, desist, and disperse from these blockades.
How can meetings and meetings and nothing for the people? There's thousands and thousands and thousands of Irish farmers and truckers, business people, builders of every corner of this country are all over the place. Absolutely frustrating. You don't know whether they're going to be in business in a few months' time. And this is the result. Nothing.
Gas stations ran bone dry, traffic chaos choked Dublin, and emergency services scrambled while ordinary citizens bore the brunt. In a desperate bid to calm the anger, the government rushed out a 505 million euro support package that included lower fuel taxes and delayed the new carbon taxes, threatening to devastate ordinary Irish citizens. The damage runs deep, igniting raw fury at an establishment that brazenly places climate dogma ahead of Irish families struggling with housing shortages and the chaos of uncontrolled mass immigration.
What did Big Jim James Bond himself Wilton do? He said, we'll turn the army on our own citizens, which is reminiscent of something that you would hear in South America. It is reminiscent of a Pyrrhonist. And then we have the man that turned away from the woman in Kentuck not so long ago, but during this election, and we didn't want to hear. And all of a sudden, he's gaslighting the country, saying he's concerned. He's concerned about the 900,000 people on waiting lists all of a sudden. He's concerned about the 60,000 people on housing lists. He's concerned about the 116,000 people that are waiting for HAP. That's what this government is concerned about. You're concerned about nothing, only serving yourselves.
Irish political party Sinn Féin rammed through its no-confidence motion. The government countered with its own confidence motion and held the line, defeating the challenge.
Don't forget, folks, what's happening here in Ireland is happening everywhere. The amount of messages I get saying it's happening in Canada, it's happening in Australia, it's happening in Europe. This is a global agenda, 2030, right?
Taoiseach Michael Martin clings to power for now, yet the votes exposed a rattled regime scrambling amid public outrage as the Emerald Isles people question how long distant globalist agendas will override their right to affordable fuel and basic national sovereignty. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silent.
I've been an OFO for as long as I've been an InfoWarrior, 18 years.
and Texan, born and raised, so I know like knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm like horrible with equipment. I'm like very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the Ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in the stores all day for like $80. We're selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the information.
Welcome back to the second hour of the War Room. You just saw John Bounds' report. I believe that's the second time we played it today. You played it this morning.
Yeah, I played it on the Alex Jones Show.
I am being joined by Harrison Smith, and we are in the podcast section of the backup life pod.
That is escape pod.
Escape pod that's been jettisoned out on Earth. It's a little bit bigger than the capsule. I saw a video when the Artemis capsule,
yes,
the alleged moon slingshot,
yeah, they
capsule
came back.
And literally the guys who are on the boat, they put this little buffer up there, so I guess they don't get cut. You know, who knows what's, you know, how nasty the outside,
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
And they climb in. And it gets bigger and bigger. It's like somebody wrote there. It's like the TARDIS. It's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you open the door and you're like, whoa, it's a big room.
So like the tents from Harry Potter. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like totally.
We do not have that here. No, it's cozy. It's quite cozy in these, studios.
Definitely. Definitely. And, so I think we're going to start off this with talking about something that not a lot of people are talking about. And that is, what's going on in Ireland. You've got some interesting stuff you just found. I found a couple. We've got the Minister of State, Michael Healy, announcing his resignation. And then Ken O'Flynn, very, very Irish name.
Very Irish.
He seems sort of like a Ron Paul type, you know, populist. And that's, you know, we'll play their two videos. But you've got one, and this is sort of a tactic that's always been used. I felt it when I was in Pittsburgh in 2009. We were covering the G20, and instead of having the local cops there, they had state police from all over the country running security there. And I actually got, when I got arrested, it was from a Florida state trooper.
Right.
So it wasn't anybody near that area, like listening to what people were saying or, you know, being part of the community, like, oh, I'm arresting my neighbors. No. You always go out and get people from the outside because they don't have a familial connection to those people.
Yep.
And so they're more likely to bash skulls in. And so where's the Irish government recruiting people now?
Yeah. So this is a crazy video that I found a while ago, maybe back in like 2024 or something. So, cause this has been going on for a while, and the story about Ireland is years and years old. It's obvious that Ireland has been targeted for destruction. I think the latest I read was something like 24% of the Irish population is now foreign born. So, I mean, they are literally being replaced. They're being targeted extremely heavily for the immigration. And then what we have here with the video that we have, and guys, if we've brought it in, I want to make sure that we have it. They are actually making TV advertisements to air in Pakistan in the Pashtun language for recruitment into the Irish Garda, which is their, you know, federal police force. So they are literally importing a foreign army that they will arm and put a badge on their chest and say, you now have authority over the Irish people. And they are deploying basically, yeah, armed foreigners to go around and attack Irish people. So you want to talk about this being an old strategy. I mean, Roman emperors did this. I think there's a quote from, it's either Aristotle or Plato or somebody. But it's, you know, often, said in these types of situations, which is the tyrant always prefers foreigners, because he can sort of wield them against their own people, against his own people. So, that's what they're doing in Ireland. We can go to this video and play the audio, and you can hear the police captains telling the people of Pakistan on Pakistani television, we want you to come be a policeman in Ireland. It's crazy.
I want to hear the accent.
We really want to get the message out there amongst the Pakistan community, the Muslim community, and the broader community of the different nationalities that make up Ireland, that we want to see represented in our national police force and making a real difference. So please put in that application.
Assalamu alaikum, mera naam Hafsa Hussain hai, main POC Ireland ki media advisor hoon. Ireland mein basne wale overseas Pakistaniyon ke liye bahut achhi khabar hai ki Garda Shia Khanna ne apni recruitment jo hai wo dobara se khol di hai. Agar aap 18 to 34 years ki age mein hain to aap apply kar sakte hain. Iske liye aapko SAM 4 chahiye, Irish language ki zarurat nahi hai aur jo khawateen hijab pehenti hain unke liye bahut achhi khabar hai ki wo job agar guards ke liye karti hain to apna hijab bhi pehen sakti hain. To sabse guzarish yehi hai ki aap na April 14th
tak apni applications
bhejne. Thank you.
Hashtag with an Irish accent.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so that's what they're doing. And, you know, obviously there is a major contention between the Garda and the Irish people. And you just see, I mean, it really is just a shocking sight when you've got these, like, military barracks being built. These, like, you know, giant compounds where they're planting. In some cases, it'll be like 1,000 African men in a village of 500. And the village is like, we don't want this. We don't want these people here. This will destroy our
this
character.
Was our tourism hotel that they're,
yeah,
that
yeah
they've
literally.
Invaded.
Yeah, yeah. This is going to destroy our tourism. I mean, it's just, it's awful for them. And they try to prevent it and they try to, you know, put up roadblocks and the Garda just come in and just wreck them. And it's one of the things that I think people have a misconception about because we tend to sort of mock Europe for being soft. Their police are insane. Like, our police are so much nicer than European police. And they have a militarism in their police, whether it's Germany or France or UK. I mean, you see it. They don't play games and they come in and they stomp the people into the ground.
Unless you're a migrant.
Unless you're a migrant,
you can kind of do whatever you want. They'll sit and talk with you. They'll try to reason with you, even though the languages aren't the same.
Yeah.
You see the videos all the time. I've got a video that I want to go to, which is, but before we go to these other ones, this is clip 17. This is BBC cutting an interview short. They're interviewing a black man. He's got he's probably born in Britain because he's got a very British accent. And they're like, how do you feel about the migrants? And he gives them a mouthful. He gives them a, you know what. He gives them the what and two. And they're basically like, okay.
yeah, they run
in
away.
Other news, you know, they just,
This guy's awesome.
This is a great clip.
He's also a little bit more than half in the bag, I think. But that's when the truth really comes out. Maybe not, but.
Well, he's at least one Guinness deep and he's got another one on deck. So, you know, and he's probably pissed off because the reason he's drinking two Guinnesses and not four Guinnesses is because he probably doesn't have any money.
That's probably right.
Cause no, he's not getting paid. So here it is. This is clip 17.
You're a resident of Swindon. What do you think the next council should be focusing on?
Well, I think they should regenerate the town centre. I think it turned into like a bunch of flat area and there's pure immigrants around here. There's dangerous areas here for women and children. I don't think it's safe. I'm all right. I'm a bit of a boy. But locally, I think there's people around here who are pretty scared to come into the town centre now. I don't come in very often. I don't bank in town. I only come in for a Guinness. That's what I come in town centre for. I've got a few
come
mad
in for
people
a Guinness.
Around here. But they need to regenerate the town centre and jobs. Bring the wages up. Do more for the working people, less for the people that are not working.
He's really
I've got
mad
a friend
now.
Who earns £1,500 and he's not over £1,500, he's not working. I work and I get less than £1,900. I'm not happy.
Big one unhappy voter there. Big.
Yeah.
Well, they're like, okay, that's enough of that. That's enough of that.
You know, the producer's in his ear like, this is not the black guy you were supposed to interview. What
yeah,
are you, doing?
You got the wrong guy.
My goodness.
I love it. And he's like, my friend doesn't work and he makes £1,500. I work and I make £1,900. It's infuriating.
And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to train people not to work, not to want to work, so then they can bring in universal basic income. And there's some, you know, there's early adopters out there. There's people who jump into AI early. There's people who jump into universal basic income early. And that's what we're seeing now, with this. Which one should we go to first? This, Irish Minister Michael Healy-Rae announcing his resignation, and he stated he will vote no confidence. So he's actually voting no confidence in it and dropping out. And people are saying the dominoes are beginning to fall, but you've got these police recruitment videos. So maybe this is what I see. People are resigning because they have other things that something else is happening. It's not really they're resigning because they care about the Irish people. They're probably being investigated for something sort of like with Swalwell.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that's interesting. No, I mean, you know, Ireland is sort of different than other European countries. Just, I don't know. I get a different sense of them. They seem a little bit more hardcore. And, you know, what's his name? The boxer, the fighter, Colin McGregor was, you know, writing these tweets of like, hey, we're going to come basically sack the capital if you don't do what we say. I mean, they seem to be taking this more seriously than other countries. Places like the UK just, I mean, they'll go out and they'll protest, but they just get shut down by the cops there. So I think like Ireland is like one place that I have hope that they're not going to let themselves be totally destroyed, especially because they haven't been saddled with the guilt and self-hate that people in Germany and everywhere, England especially, because of the horrible colonialism they did. They deserve, you know, to right. be destroyed. But Ireland's like, wait, we've been fighting against imperialism our yeah. entire existence, and now we have to be the homeland of every African that wants to make it here? It's ridiculous.
Well, and if you look at media reports, they're basically saying, oh, it's the right wing coming in here trying to stir up trouble about migration. People are pissed about the price of gas, and now they're adding this other... No, they're pissed about the migration, too. And it's not just the right-wingers. We played a couple weeks ago, Alex played a video of a guy just talking about what was going on. And it's the migration. These yeah. people are mad about that. And because the migration is what causes the gas prices to go up. When you have more people taking less supply, limited supplies, the prices are going to go up. Your roads are going to get worse. Your transportation is going to get destroyed earlier because you just have more people.
Well, it's like
that are supposed than what are supposed to be there.
Absolutely, and the housing crisis in Ireland. You'll see these videos mm-hmm. of a new house opens up and the line is around the block, right. and none of the people look Irish to me. So it's like right. they can't afford homes. They're being forced out of everywhere. Then you've got this you know fuel restriction on top of it. It's all part of the same program, obviously, of just total destruction of Europe overall. But yeah, at least some Irish politicians seem to be sort of bucking the trend. But like all these European countries, they can just manipulate this parliamentary system to where even if the right-wing party wins, the center-right and the left-wing party make a coalition to keep them out of power. Right. I mean, it's really, I don't know, they're really forcing the population into a difficult position.
It's definitely more generational than what we have here. Let's go to clip 7. This is a short clip, but this is Michael Hayley Ray announcing his resignation.
And because of the fact that I believe this government have left the people of Ireland down, I will be voting no confidence in the leader of the country, and I will be tendering my resignation as a Minister of State from now. And I would ask that future governments and this government, that they would listen, that they would be kind, that they would be understanding.
No, we're going to go get Pakistanis to beat the crap out of y'all. Don't
yeah, worry. No, they're very kind and understanding to the infinite number of foreigners that want to arrive there. It's just when the Irish say, hey, do you mind not destroying my town? That's the real thing that outrages them.
And I think we're going to see the same thing in Hungary. They just elected a new guy, and he's like, oh, we're not going to take down the border wall just yet. But they don't want to pay the fines. And they're like, we're getting these fines every year. We don't really want to pay them. So, you know, we're just going to start letting people in and changing the culture.
No.
And at some point, you're going to see the same thing. It's going to take 10, 15, 20 years to happen in Hungary, what's already happening now in the UK. And I think the UK's got a big rise up on May 16th. Tommy Robinson's leading something. I'm seeing all kind of people going to be there for that. But let's go to Ken O'Flynn. He goes nuclear about the political change that is coming. And I hope it is. I hope these people pull their heads out of their butts and really start to take control of their destiny, because they have to do it, because nobody's going to do it for them. The only people that are coming are more foreigners.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, it should be Americans helping out with this. There's more Irish people of Irish descent in America than there are in Ireland.
The mix, yes.
Yeah, so I'm not saying we should be running guns to them, but I am actually saying that. I do actually think we should be doing that.
All right, let's go to
Kenneth. That's just me, I don't know.
Down the ordinary people that this government say they represent and that they say they live amongst. The reality is they blamed Trump for absolutely everything. We've heard government get up and stand about Trump. Donald Trump isn't in charge of NORA. He's not in charge of the carbon tax in this country. He's not in charge of that in this country. And he's not in charge of excise. What did Sean Kenny do? He said, go out and walk or go out and cycle. What did Big Jim James Bond himself go out and do? He said, we'll turn the army on our own citizens. Which is reminiscent of something that you would hear in South America. It is reminiscent of a Pyrrhonist. And then we have the man that turned away from the woman in Kentucky not so long ago. But did you during this election, and we didn't want to hear. And all of a sudden, he's gaslighting the country, saying he's concerned. He's concerned about the 900,000 people on waiting lists. All of a
a sudden. He's concerned about the 60,000 people on housing lists. He's concerned about the 116,000 people that are waiting for HAP. That's what this government is concerned about. You're concerned about nothing, only serving yourselves. And I applaud Deputy Healy Ray, and I say well done to him for having a bit of backbone. And if those that turned up at the protests down in Whitegate or anywhere else in the country, in Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, had turned up there and said, we're with you, lads, and we're going to get rid of Micheál in a couple of weeks. If any of you have bit of backbone, join with Healy Ray and vote against this government, and let's call the election. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, powerful stuff.
The Irish are pissed. Is anything going to change? I don't know. But they are doing a good job at staying peaceful. They've been pepper sprayed. They've been dragged away and arrested. And they're still maintaining, we're just going to have peaceful resistance. And as long as they can do that, but what's going to happen is, you know, what's the old adage? You bring in those people who are, the provocateurs. We saw it in Canada many, many years ago, and it was actual police that they sent in to start just roughing people up. And when they, people started figuring out who they were, they could tell by the boots. They were wearing the same exact boots. And they actually, when they grab one, they look at the bottom and his boot's the same as the cop boot. And then they're like, look, these are cops coming in here and they're giants and
agent provocateurs.
We saw that in Pittsburgh too.
Yep.
It was giant dudes dressed up like Antifa that don't look like they're Antifa. Right. Antifa are like wafy little, they have that kind of slime about them. And these guys were like big and buff, just like,
walking around, starting trouble.
Right.
Explicitly to get the crackdown. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what they did. They were able to get that, back in 2009 and basically do. And I think they were there just practicing, kettling maneuvers. This is how we're going to round up the American citizens. Luckily, Because this was kind of an aftershock of 2008 with the Wall Street, protests.
Yeah, yeah, Occupy.
Occupy Wall Street protests. So this was in 2009, just a year later. And I think they were still freaked out about the left and right coming together, because that's what we saw there too. And that's what I think you need to see. And all the people need to realize, it's not about political parties. It's about, do you want to determine your own future at the end of the day? So that's where we're at with these, with the Irish.
Yeah. Well, and of course the classic image is the continent of Africa and the Irish island. And it's like, you expect everyone from this place to, fit in this place. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. There's no argument, which I don't agree with the arguments anyway, but at least there's something there where you can say, well, England conquered all these places, so really it's fair play to them. Again, I think that's ridiculous, but it at least makes logical sense, because England went out and colonized everybody. There's no reason to do this to the Irish. The Irish didn't do anything to anybody. They've been really supportive of very unpopular, positions across the world for a very long time. They have a very strong track record of helping the Lebanese and the Palestinians against Israel, again, because they sort of know how it feels with England right next door and hundreds of years of oppression against the Irish there. So they've always sort of supported these smaller, countries or peoples that are up against a bigger fight. And yet, who's fighting for Ireland? Where are the people, out there going, hey, this is wrong what you're doing to Ireland? Which is why, I say like we should run guns to them, kind of half in jest, but like when you think about what we do overseas, we're running guns to the, Syrian rebels, and it's like,
gave a lot of guns to Ukraine, and 30% of them end up just going away. We don't know where they're at.
Exactly. And so it's like, if anything was normal, it'd be like the Irish struggle for survival is just as valid as whatever, it's actually more valid than what we did in Syria or anywhere else. And it's strange to me that we can't break through this sort of anti-white, anti-European mindset that says that the Irish people don't deserve a homeland or a future. It's sick.
Yeah, and it's an EU mindset, definitely, that the EU's got these, once they got their tentacles, once the EU happened, and, we saw Brexit, at least. England really hasn't changed much since Brexit. Basically, they're like, yeah, you can vote for it. We're still going to bring in migrants.
They're basically
punished for it. Exactly. And now it's harder for you to travel. It's harder for you to get, euros. It's harder for you to get money and participate in the European banking system. And, you know, even though I could participate in the European banking system, no problem. But it's harder for the British to do that because they chose to stand up for, you know, sovereignty.
And everybody knew that Brexit was about migrants. Like, you know, it was about a bunch of stuff. It was about the economic zones and whatever. But at the end of the day, everybody knew it was a referendum on migration. And it was the UK saying we do not want to be beholden to the EU, you know, obligations to accept foreigners. And yet they passed Brexit and just nothing happened. If anything, you know, the rate of migration increased, and they've been punished for daring to suggest that they not be subject to the EU's tyrannical measures.
And they always seem to have plenty of money to house migrants, migrants not to work,
Infinite money.
Them free phones. But then anything else, you know, regular services need to be, oh, no, we don't have money for that. We don't have money to pay people. But, you know, you got to keep paying for the BBC to propagandize you.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, you do get something.
You get an accident.
You get a guy that leaks through.
He slips
through the stream.
But, like, and it's not even like a, you know, just a thing where it's like, oh, they're treated better than us. No, like the NHS has specific programs where the illegal immigrants get better services than the locals. Like they get tooth and eye and everything, and the locals have to literally go to the back of the line. So, I mean, again, this is the problem with socialized medicine, especially when your government hates your native people. It's not a great combo.
That's true. And people think, oh, we're going to get Obamacare. It's going to be great health care. And it's like, no, your health care is even worse, and it costs twice as much.
Or we can go the Canadian route and just euthanize everybody.
And that's on the table, too. They are looking at especially, I think you go to Oregon and Washington.
There are a couple states here that do it.
They're like, yeah, we'll kill you. We'll kill you. Oh, life's getting tough. Come watch this movie.
Yeah. You know? You're too poor. We hurt you with something. I mean, that's the craziest one. The woman in Canada who was forced to get the vaccine. The vaccine paralyzed her, and then they offered to kill her.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, sorry, you know, we took this thing, we mandated, it paralyzed you. We can kill you if you want. I mean, it's like that sort of is like the mindset of the European and Western elite at this point. Is just like, oh, we destroyed your country, so it's time for all of you to die.
Right. And so, we're going to bring in people who are so happy to be here because they come from dirt huts. And now they're coming here with paved roads, and they're so happy. They'll do whatever we tell them to do as long as we keep paying them money. And if they get out of hand, we're not worried about it. We lived over here in the walled cities.
Yep.
We're not going to be affected by this. You guys get to live with it. You guys get to feel the brunt of it.
And they know, you know, that this is something that's going on in the UK right now, because again, like every day in the UK, there's another horrible rape or murder from a migrant. And there's a big protest going on right now. When it's the British people protesting, they're doing it peacefully. The police come in, kettle them up, brutalize them, destroy the whole thing. When it's the Muslims protesting, they tend to riot. They tend to bring metal bars, and the police literally run away. There's tons of videos going around right now of just the British police full tilt running away from the migrants. So there's this weird thing that, like,
and then if you say something wrong about that, like, they arrest a guy to talk about bacon. He's like, it smells like bacon. I want some bacon.
We're going to arrest
you.
Stuff.
You can't say that.
There's a guy that was like, just like hard of hearing, and he's like, I can't understand you, you know, speak English. And the cops roll up on him. It's insane, but it's almost like they're teaching them, like, unless you're dangerous, we're going to abuse you.
Right.
Like, if you're the Muslim population and we're scared of you and you might bomb us or hit us with metal bars, then we'll let you do whatever you want. But those British who are polite and nice and follow the law, we can abuse them.
And
as
you get
much
the same mentality
want.
Here. It's like, oh, you're a criminal. You get to go back out on the streets.
Yep.
Oh, you didn't pay all your taxes. We're going to take everything you own and put you in prison.
Yep.
But other than that, you know, everything's cool other than that.
Yeah, so. There's another post I saw today. It was Minneapolis. And he's like, I'm trying to get my sink repaired. In order to get my sink repaired, the plumber had to go get a permit here. This person had to approve. This person had to approve. And he's sitting there going, I am being subject to more scrutiny over replacing a sink than some of these daycare centers get for receiving $20 million a year. I mean, it's beyond just like, oh, you know, they get to do whatever they want. It's like they get tens of millions of dollars to do whatever they want. Meanwhile, if you want to have a lemonade stand, they're going to, you know, kick your teeth in.
All right, we're going to continue this on the other side of the break. We're going to get into Trump going after the...
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So that you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors because they really work. I'm going to tell you what they are. Well, Bigly, our sponsor, has a really high quality private label, top selling brand that we were able to private label. We're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis. But not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high quality zeolite. Please do your own research.
and then go to the alexjonesstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Enter Zeolite Detox Defense, advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this Zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit thealexjonesstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber. Lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything, thealexjonesstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your Zeolite formula now at thealexjonesstore.com. The big health guy, you're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade to take 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work. Tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
We're back on the War Room. This is Rob Dew hosting, Harrison Smith sitting in. You know, kind of what this is we're going through the process of production. People think that, you know, you could be a 12-year-old in your closet with a little box and go beep, and you're live and everything works. It's not how it happens.
No, not here. That's for sure. No, it's one of the great things about InfoWars is like even just the quality of the sets, the quality of the production. It shows that somebody put time into this, that there's people, the crew is here. A lot of people care enough about this to make it look good, which means that the information is good. I still think that's an extremely valuable thing to have, even when so many people are just, you know, doing it in their basements.
And that's not what we do. Podcast is a lot different than what we do, which is we have a live show that's on every, we're slaves to the clock. You know, the show starts at 11, you know, Jones show goes 11 to 3. And then at 3 o'clock, there's a 2 minute break. And then at 2:58, then at 3, the War Room starts.
And then there's a 1 minute break, and then there's a 4 minute break, and then a 2 minute break. And that's how the clock works. And you're not messing with the clock.
You gotta conform yourself to the clock.
The clock. And so we have we're a radio show first that was then turned into a TV show that then we also put out there as a podcast. So it's like three beasts going on at the same time that you all have to make work together. And they don't always work together, but you have to make them work together no matter what.
Yeah, and honestly, it's good for me because I'm the type of person that, like, because I know it's
I need another hour.
Yeah, I'll be like, delay it 5 minutes, and then it just never gets done. But it's like, no, you have to be in the chair. You have to be ready to go at this time because it's going live. And if you're not there, then you're screwing over the crew who's sitting there going, what do we do? What do you know? So it's, I don't know. It's good to work within these constraints. It really forces you to level up in a lot of ways.
It definitely does. And you know, one of the things that I'm going to take a little deviation. We're going to talk about the Pope and Trump here in a second, but I want to sidetrack to this. This is a video that came out and it's an American talking about the subscription models that we're all beholden to.
Oh my God. Yes.
You know, there's cars that you can't get heated seats unless you pay a subscription.
Yeah.
And she's bitching. I think she's bitching about her garage door opener. You can't have somebody else open your garage door unless you pay a subscription, which is like, what?
God.
It's crazy. So guys, this is clip, what clip is this? Clip 10. Yeah. So let's play this and then we'll come back and talk about it. And then some solutions to get around some of these subscriptions, even find some freeware here. I have some freeware tips here coming around the bend. So let's go to that clip 10.
It's great that everything's a subscription now. Everything's just a rental. It's fantastic. I love that. Didn't have to do a whole lot to convince everybody to be okay with it. They just went, instead of charging you one time for Photoshop, we're going to charge you 3/4 of the price of Photoshop every month for the rest of your life until you die. And we all went, that sounds great. Thank you so much. Printers on subscription services now because printing was already so fucking easy. You may as well get an app involved. You get 15 pages of printing free until you hit a paywall. And now you got to pay a monthly fee to use a physical object already in your house on paper that you already purchased. There are some garage door openers that are on subscription services now. Now you have to rent the ability to open a door in a house that you own, or more likely in a house that you rent. You are renting the ability to open doors in the house that you rent. Even better. Did you guys know that medical software is on a subscription too? The software that doctors need to use the machines to do neurosurgery? Sometimes doctors will go into neurosurgery and go, oh shit, our subscription needs to be renewed. We need to get our account manager on the phone before we can do neurosurgery. The last person I want involved in my neurosurgery is a member of the sales team, okay? We have to get a guy named Matt on a Teams call before you guys can operate. Oh, it's gone.
Yeah, do you have the new code?
The fact that everything's on subscription now makes me really confused and people are optimistic about brain chips. They're going to advertise it by being like, now you can see the world how dogs see the world. But little do you know that now dog vision is the lowest tier subscription that you can have. And if you want to see like a human again, that's another $18.99 a month. After you took the bait and fell for dog vision, they're going to put taste and smell on dynamic pricing. You don't think these people are going to go so far as to make us rent our own bodies? We basically already are.
Boom.
Wow, that's a great point. Now, even just the Photoshop thing, it's so accurate. It's like instead of letting you just buy it and own it, we're going to charge you basically the same amount on a perpetual basis. It's very convenient.
You can actually, people do this on eBay. You can find the older versions of Adobe Studio. And I believe it's Adobe Studio 6 is the last version that you could buy and own on a disc.
Physical copy, yeah.
But see, it's on a disc.
Yeah.
Oh, nobody has discs anymore, so you have to go find a disc drive to hook up to it and then get your stuff uploaded to the computer, which probably won't work on the latest version of Mac OS.
Yeah, I seriously doubt it. So, you know, maybe piracy will make a comeback or something because I never paid for Photoshop all through high school, but I used it a lot.
There you go. At Deplorable SEO said there are plenty of alternatives to paid software. You just need to know where to ask are brave enough to, dare I say, think different. So then he lists them up here. Web browser, Chrome is a data harvesting machine. The best is Firefox or Brave, although Firefox seems to be a little leftist to mine. And then even stronger, Libra. It's hardened like a Firefox fork. No telemetry or Mullivad browser, which is a Tor project. Office Suite, Microsoft 365 or Google Workspace. You could also get LibreOffice, which is free, or OnlyOffice. We used to use, I think here, we'd used OpenOffice for a long time.
I've used LibreOffice too.
And then you got Adobe Creative Cloud, an all-in-one free replacement, Affinity Studio.
Yeah.
Might want to check that out, Affinity Studio. Photo editing, GIMP, G-I-M-P.
That one's
it's
been
free
forever.
Open source. It has been. Yeah, layers, masks, PSD support. That's what you do mostly.
Yeah.
Layers and masks. And very close to Photoshop.
There's a lot of good options for Photoshop. And then there's DaVinci Resolve.
Yeah.
And I'll say this because actually I know that this suggestion has led to at least one career in right-wing media. Go get DaVinci Resolve. Maybe I don't want to blow up his spot too much, but I'm going to. Joe Wakili, of Hodge Twins fame, heard me say one time, hey, you know, DaVinci is free. You can download free video editing software and you can make something. You can take down our videos and edit it mm-hmm. yourself. But it is professional quality video editing software that absolutely everybody can get for absolutely free. Or if you just have a phone, you can edit video on that and you can start a career in right-wing media, or you can make a meme that, you know, changes somebody's mind. It's actually possible to do that. DaVinci is, and we're not being paid by them or anything, but I just know it's a great product. And,
well, there's several people that use it in the office. They got sick and tired of watching the color bar. I'm almost sick and tired of watching the color wheel turn as I just try to select an object in Premiere or make a cut or export something out and it goes, hey, I'm going to export I have to look at 15 different tracks of audio that you're not even exporting, but I have to look at those first and analyze them before I could dump out your 3-second clip. So hold on. You have a long timeline here with stuff. We're going to analyze all this other stuff that makes no sense and is not part of your project just so we could get to this little piece right here. And that really pisses me off. So, actually there's a paid version of DaVinci you can upgrade for $300. And you never have to upgrade ever again.
And you own it. And of course,
and
this, as you point out, there's cars now with where they have the heated seats built in. You just can't access the software unless you pay for it. And so, I mean, this is making its way into the physical world as well.
Exactly. So you got, you also got cloud storage, note taking, password managing, antivirus, file compression, media players, VLC is a good one. Also a good encoder that'll transcode a lot of things, Handbrake.
Oh yeah.
Totally free. Yeah. Works great.
I think I first downloaded Handbrake on LimeWire in middle school. That's another one that's been around forever.
It looks like you still downloaded it in LimeWire in middle school. Like the interface looks bad. It looks like the 90s, but you know what? It works. And that's the great part about it. Open source is the way to go. And I think you're going to see a lot more people getting on, Linux.
Yeah.
They're going to be sick and tired of Microsoft. Yeah. They're sick and tired of when you're working. Oh, we have to update. Sorry. You better sit down for the next hour because I know you're in a hurry, but hey, we got to update this program to do a bunch of things you didn't ask for it to do and to move a bunch of stuff from here to over here so you can't find it anymore.
You know,
cause I'm an engineer. All right. I know what to do. I'm an engineer.
Sorry, I didn't do it, Rob. Don't yell at me. I don't work for Microsoft. No, but everybody experiences this frustration. I mean, my thing is like, okay, you got rid of the check-in person at the airport that used to do everything for you. Now I'm doing it, but my ticket costs the same. You're saving the cost on the, you know, salary you're not paying anymore, but I don't see any benefit from this. I think that to me is the absolute biggest frustration. But you know, Windows 11, I was just watching a really interesting video about this. Maybe I should get the data so I can actually present it correctly. But essentially, you know, Microsoft realized that it had this essential monopoly on, however they put it, the enterprise system. So all the companies
are using Microsoft.
They still use Microsoft because they started using Microsoft and they just haven't changed. And so they just decided we're not going to get any more customers. We just need to maximally exploit the people that are already on it and are sort of stuck on it. The person who designed Windows 11 had never used a PC before. Did you know that?
Wow.
Yeah. The person that does it, which everybody hates Windows
11. I'm not surprised.
It's got ads everywhere. I mean, it's about just maximal exploitation because they can't actually make a product that people want. It's really the sign of a declining.
Nothing gets any better. I'm still on this is probably an 8-year-old iPhone right now, 6-year-old iPhone, something like that. It's old. Because I don't feel like upgrading and I like the older technology anyway. I like the older, cord system that they used. And I had tons of those cords and it's like, well, no, you got to upgrade. We got this new one because the Europeans said we have to go to this new, you know, the USB-C. Nobody cares. People just want stuff that works and works well.
And works for a long time. And of course, this is the irony of the climate change agenda, which of course they've sort of dropped at this point. But, you know, probably the person who's done the most damage to the environment ever is probably Steve Jobs. I mean, the fact that he deliberately created a system by which you need a new phone every year. At least that's the idea. There's no reason. I mean, it's planned obsolescence, but not just to make money, to drive the demand and the, you know, you're not a cool person if you don't have the newest iPhone. I mean, that was deliberately created. And this goes all the way back to like the first Apple, the first computers he made. Wozniak wanted to make it really interchangeable, and he just wanted sort of a platform.
You could upgrade. And that's how they used to be. You used to be able to upgrade them. Now exactly. You can't even get into them.
Exactly. Well, remember, the iPod was the first sort of device ever that had a battery that you couldn't remove. And yep. I remember even at the time being like, I don't like this. Because
who did this?
Yeah, it was nice when you could pop out the battery, switch a new one in. If you don't want to be listened to, you pop the battery out. Your phone doesn't have power anymore. But all of a sudden it was like, no, we don't want people to be able to do anything. It's all got to be through us.
Except by the latest version.
All
they wanted to do.
And so you just get this endless production line that just, yeah, it's probably causing more actual damage to the earth than anybody, you know, ever has, but they're the hero.
Oh, and now, and on top of that, I think they're talking in China, they have like tons and tons of solar panels that they're starting to change out because the old ones are, and they're just like, we don't know what to do with these.
Oh my God.
I mean, a solar panel is really nasty.
Yeah.
It's photolithography, but with the nastiest chemicals. It's like, that's basically what you're doing is laying all this stuff down on circuit boards.
It's essentially like nuclear waste. I mean, there's a place in Houston. It's just acres and acres and acres because that, and it's also the windmill turbines. The windmill turbines are, so
what do you do with those?
They're just putting them in fields and just going, okay,
burying them.
That's just blighted land from now on. It's crazy.
I mean, I can't believe you can't grind those up and use them for something else, but I guess you can.
I guess not. And it's like, again, just the absurdity of all.
You can't make a road out of these turbines? I mean, you were talking about concrete the other day. Was that you? You were talking about concrete? Somebody was talking about why we're using concrete. Or why we're still using concrete on the roads. I'm just like, why are we still using concrete? There's got to be something better out there.
You can imagine. I mean, the windmills are just so huge. And like, if they're burying them now, they haven't been around for 20 years. So like, you've got these fields of windmills. You know that not a single one of those windmills made a fraction of the power that it took to build it, to take it down, to destroy it. It's like,
I don't even think they break even and then they're boom, they die.
Yeah.
And then you have to pay to take it down. Then you've got the footprint of where it was.
Plus it kills birds.
I got this clip. This is, you were talking about the Pope the other day. I thought you did a really good job explaining how the Pope is going there praising the Muslims for killing Christians.
Crazy.
In Algeria, right?
Algeria.
And, Tom Homan also weighed in on the controversy. Guys, this is the Homan clip, 11. We're going to go to that. It's about 30 seconds, but it's basically, you know, Homan's like an old gumshoe, seems like an old cop from like the 60s or something.
If
the Pope wants to come down here and take care of these kids, he can do it. But until then, shut up. Basically, here's Homan.
I speak for the president. I'm speaking for myself, a lifelong Catholic. I wish they stay out of immigration. They don't know what they're talking about. Because if they wore my shoes for 40 years and talked to a 9-year-old girl they raped multiple times, or stood in the back of a trailer, back of a tractor trailer, and 19 dead aliens at my feet, including a 5-year-old boy that baked to death, if they understood the atrocities that happened on the open border, I think their opinion would change. And I welcome discussion with any of them, because they don't understand. Illegal immigration is not a victimless crime. Where President Trump had the most secure border in the lifetime of this nation right now, lives are being saved. He's saving thousands of lives a year because he has a secure border. Human traffickers are out of business, right? The cartels are going bankrupt because of that secure border.
Wow, that was powerful.
And it turns out Kanoka the Great went back and dug up a bunch of old tweets of Pope Leo.
Yeah.
And he dug these up and he's like, check these out. So here, these are a bunch of retweets where he retweeted. So Robert Prevost was his name.
Right.
And then this account doesn't exist anymore. So in 2020, I join the voice and prayers of those bishops and brothers who are working hard to end racism in our hearts and society. May God give comfort to the families of George Floyd in this time of anguish. He reposted that. Saying Trump's bad hombres line fuels racism and nativism. Call bishops and send preemptive blast on DACA. That was a guy named Rocco, and he retweeted that one. And, you know, some people say retweets aren't endorsements. These are endorsements because I'm going to show you that they are in a second. I stand with the dreamers and all the people who are working toward an immigration system that is fair, just, and moral. I don't even know what that means. It's not just, definitely. As Tom Homan just talked about, you know, 9-year-old girls getting raped multiple times. How is that just? Trump and Bukele used the Oval Office to elicit deportation of U.S. residents. Once undocked Salvador himself, now D.C. Aux Avilio asked, do you not see the suffering? Is this not, is your conscience not deserved? How do we stay quiet? He did that one. Chris Murphy, what is he, Senator of Connecticut? To my colleagues, your cowardice to act and be whitewashed by thoughts and prayers. None of this ends unless we do something to stop it. They always have this catch-all term of, what do they call it? Comprehensive immigration reform, which basically means open borders. We saw what comprehensive immigration reform gets us. And here he is. Here's his own tweet. Thank you. We need to hear more from our leaders in the church to reject racism and seek justice and sign the Catholic climate petition.
Oh, the Catholic climate petition.
So he's all in on the climates, on the migrants. He's a New World Order proxy. And let's not forget where one of his churches is. This is where they like to go, the snake pit.
Yeah. And of course.
And this isn't even the gross parts when you get here to see what this is. It's like all the demons.
Yeah. It's like
flailing around.
Jesus like coming up from hell. It's totally insane. Yeah. Very, very suspicious stuff. And yeah, you know, my point of this was, you know, I agreed with J.D. Vance when he said, look, the Pope is not a politician. He's there to talk about moral things and, you know, he's just doesn't really have a place, which I agree. It's like, okay. He should be able to provide sort of moral guidance above and beyond political considerations, but it should be consistent. And the fact that he's going and laying a wreath, you know, at the tomb, memorializing this anti-colonial uprising where they just slaughtered a ton of French Catholics. So he approves of the Algerians violently expelling Catholics who built their entire country, by the way. Algeria didn't really exist before France literally built it from the ruins of the civilization that had been there 1,000 years before. But that's good. That's wonderful. That's anti-colonialism. But if the European people say, hey, you know, maybe flooding us with millions of people a year is a little bit too much, can we turn that tap down? He's like, oh, this is evil. This is awful. So if he was a consistent moral arbiter, then I'd say great. But he clearly has bias against Europeans. He has bias against the Western civilization as far as I can see it. And he's happy to support and really demand that Western Europe be flooded with Muslims, which is like every day there's another church that gets burned somewhere in Europe. There was one burned in Ireland the day before yesterday. There was one burned in the Netherlands yesterday. They're all being burned by Muslim immigrants. So here he is actually encouraging the takeover of the Christian homeland in Europe by Muslims. It's totally inconsistent. There's no consistency there. I don't see any sort of moral certainty of any of this. It's totally arbitrary as far as I can tell. And it's not charitable to be taken advantage of. This, I just want to like drive this into people's heads. If there's a person that's actually suffering, that's actually in need, I do think you have a Christian obligation to help them. If it's just a dude that's lying to you about being in need so he can steal your stuff, you're not a good person for giving him your stuff, right?
Right.
You're not a good person for opening your house to somebody who's just trying to rob you because they've got a sob story. And that's essentially what he's telling us is believe the fake sob stories or else you're a bad person. No, you're not a good person for being taken advantage of.
Or give millions and millions of dollars to NGOs so they can just not do what they're supposed to do with that money and just kind of fritter away and give it, launder it back to politicians who gave them the money in the first place and do all the things they're supposed to do with it except like feed people.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you'd think with all the money that we spend on feeding people, we could actually feed people, but we don't feed people. It's just more hungry people. That's all we get.
Yeah. Endlessly. No, it's just kind of ridiculous. The things this Pope says, again, I don't understand how you can, you know, have this very, hard line, you know, belief about the sacredness of human life. And then you're supporting the number one contributor to death and destruction the world over, the migration crisis. I mean, this is just, I'm trying not to say retarded as much.
I'll say it for you. It's retarded.
Okay, thank you.
I did just get a text from somebody who said, hey, thanks for the tip on Handbrake.
Oh, nice.
I've downloaded helped. Whatever they were doing.
Oh, there you go.
Probably trying to turn a file, some weird Sony file into a file they could use on Premiere.
And actually edit with, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like even the new, files you get on, I'm still on Premiere 2020 because I refuse to upgrade. But I can't even use files I shoot on an iPhone.
Oh, really?
I have to combobulate them before I can pull them in there. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And there was a time, even like in Photoshop or Premiere 2015 or something, we were on that. It wouldn't take anything. You had to like totally turned, you had to turn them into AIC files before I could see them, which is, I know we're talking weird right now and we just went off topic, but
now, but this is a persistent thing with Adobe, and they're sort of having trouble too, but they're doing the same thing that Microsoft is. They have this legacy monopolization where,
and they think we'll just keep screwing people. Yep. We don't care.
We'll just keep squeezing it.
I've got the guys, this is clip 13. Let's play this. I've never heard this before.
Oh,
this is the sound of a data center in Michigan. And some guy, poor guy, has to live next to this. Here's this clip, 13.
It's like insanely loud.
It's like a meat grinder or a sand.
Yeah. Continuously, day and night.
All right, and then they're going to cut to a guy talking.
And you can hardly hear him.
You can hardly hear him.
Yeah.
It's the same sound. It's like they turn the camera around, and that's what this guy gets to live with. Hyperscale data is planning to expand.
Yeah. He's unable to open his windows in the summer.
I mean,
you can't even hear him.
Yeah, I worry about that. The property values, because who's going to want to, if we want to resell the house, who's going to want to buy the house?
Who's going to want to buy the house?
Well, the data center.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they're getting cheap land. They're freeing up the land all around their data centers.
Look, we're going to make you an offer.
Yeah.
Let's go outside and relax in the yard.
Hey.
Yeah, all your plants are wilting. Like, we're being bombarded with horrible sound waves.
Right.
If it has, I don't know where.
I mean, how are you allowed to do this? Like, if I was outside this guy's house with an air horn day and night, they'd arrest me.
Or a band playing a gig.
Right.
You know, oh, we have sound ordinance. How come they don't have sound ordinance?
They have no sound ordinances. And the crazy thing, I mean, these data centers, they are so huge. Like,
keep the sound up. People need to hear this. This is what's going on in America right now.
The one stat I keep going back to, there's one data center in Ohio that's going to use the same amount of electricity as 9 nuclear power plants, which is like, what are they doing this for? What is the argument? I mean, right now, I get my Netflix, I get my Facebook. I don't have a problem with the amount of data we're able to process at this time. Why would we need to build 3,000? We're building 3,000 new data centers at this moment in America. 3,000. Right. Like, half of them are delayed, but.
And Meta has got one. This is clip 12. I think we have time to go to this.
Is this one in Florida?
Maybe not. I don't know if we have time to go to this or not. We're flying blind down here, but guys, play clip 12. This is the one in Louisiana. Go ahead.
Y'all want to hear something crazy? You know that large data center that Meta is building in Louisiana? Well, they want Entergy to build 10 gas power plants just to supply the electricity
for
that damn data center. I'm not shitting y'all. They're going to provide enough electricity to power 7 million houses.
Wow.
So climate change is not a concern.
Yeah. Power plant.
Climate change okay now.
Yeah.
Entergy has already signed a contract with Entergy Transfer for them to supply them a pipeline of natural gas. 36-inch pipeline.
That's a big pipeline.
They're
going
to provide them 1 billion cubic feet a day of natural gas just to power the power plants so they can provide electricity.
I'm very pleased to announce 2 new great products at theelectionstore.com that will 100% work and deliver you energy, clarity, and also, when you want to relax, great calm, rest, and sleep. Now, a lot of our products are very complex, game-changing, cutting-edge, you name it. But there's a lot of things that are very simple and proven that are still the best. Now, we have several other great energy formulas at theelectionstore.com. They're more complex. But Ultimate Energy is very, very simple. And this is one of the most popular, long-running energy combinations on the market at Whole Foods and everywhere else because it really works. It's Ultimate Energy, TheAlexShow4.com. Very strong dose of wide-spectrum, organic, time-released caffeine with a big dose of high-quality L-theanine that gives you focus and clarity but relaxes you. So with the caffeine, it's very, very smooth without the letdown, last up to 10 hours. That's Ultimate Energy. But when you're ready to relax, Ultimate Chill. a strong dose of high-quality ashwagandha root, known for thousands of years, give people rest, clarity, focus. Doesn't make you tired, just makes you relax, kind of a zen focus. And then on top of that, a big dose of L-theanine that also gives you calm, clear focus. Great rest, great relaxation, great dreams. That's so good for your immune system, your entire body. So some days when I've been working from 5 a.m. to say 10 p.m., and I've been, you know, jacked up on our great supplements and you name it, I will go to this formula, Ultimate Chill. That's why I actually came to Bigly and said, hey, I'm already using a brand from Whole Foods. This is what's in it. Make it a little bit stronger. So this is a formula I've been using for years to relax. I'm having trouble, you know, being able to kind of ease into non-work mode. And this is how I do it. Simple, proven ingredients that work in a high-quality fusion. Now available at thealexjonesstore.com.
The future is now. Explorers from deep space crash land on a savage planet destined for annihilation.
Abandoned ship! Get out now!
They discover a world so unpredictable, so shocking, it will shatter your very concept of reality and reveal the dark destiny of man.
What alternate universe is this? What planet did I wake up in?
They own the banks, fund the wars, manage the politicians, control the media, and command the apes to enforce their tyranny.
You want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
They tried to silence the one man who saw it coming. And the world he reveals will challenge every idea.
Way out west, southwest, down in Texas, there's this fella I want to tell you about, fella by the name of Alex Jones. At least that was the handle his freedom-loving parents gave him, and he made pretty good use of it himself. This Alex Jones, well, he's a straight shooter. He calls himself an info warrior, a globalist killer, even a goblin slayer. He's a truth bomber, dropping nukes of knowledge across radio waves, television sets, and all over the World Wide Web. Many have tried to stop him, shut him up, or silence him, but it never quite worked out. Not for a man like him.
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
He's a real Paul Revere of the 21st century. A truth teller. Hell, even more honest than old honest Abe Lincoln.
Blackmail me with advertising? Blackmail me with money? Go f*** yourself.
Sworn on the altar of God, eternal resistance over every form of tyranny of the mind of man. But remember, we can't do this alone. In fact, we don't do any of this. We are just the willing vessels with our free will to ask God to lead, guide, and direct us to be instruments of His will. Ministers of truth, ministers of justice, ministers of the will of God on this planet today. And we are imperfect. We see through a rose color darkly, and that's why we got to constantly be praying to God, constantly asking God to direct us. And when we get the voice of God, the still voice of God, when we're told to do something by God, we have to do it even though we don't want to.
And there's been plenty, you know, that I didn't want to do. I'm all about factoids, info. I want to just tell you about things. I respect you. I want to show you how I see things working so you can research it. You give me info. We augment the information. We move forward. I love pure stuff like Nick Sordo. Pure stuff like Nick Sordo. Pure stuff where you go out and you show what's going on. That's what I'm all about. That's what we do. The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globals have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra methylene blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it.
This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra methylene blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about
it. This stuff works, man.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Rob Due. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the third and final hour of The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Due, and joining me via Skype is newly 100% free man. Before he was sort of like kind of free, but now he's 100% free. Joe Biggs, proud boy, former InfoWars reporter. How are you doing today, sir?
And future millionaire.
Aren't we all?
Eat that, Joe Biden.
It won't be worth as much, though.
It's pretty sweet after 4 years of, or 5 years of hell. I'll be glad to get whatever I can.
How did you get the news of this? Like, how did it come to you?
So yesterday I'm riding my motorcycle. I'm actually driving up to the motorcycle shop to check on my other bike that was in there getting work done. And I'm riding home and my phone starts blowing up. My friend Amy calls me, then Enrique calls me, then Ethan Nordine and Zach Rill. And I finally get to the house and I call Enrique back first and I go, all right, this many people don't call me ever. I'm not someone that likes to be on the phone. And, Enrique goes, well, I've got good news and I've got bad news. He goes, the bad news is I can promise you, you're not going to get a pardon. And I go, well, that's kind of an asshole thing to say, buddy. He goes, well, you're not going to need one because they're dropping all the charges, tonight. And I go, what? And he sent me a screenshot from the DOJ and it says, we are, dropping your charges and, what do you call it? Making it like it never happened.
It was dismissed without prejudice.
Yes, without prejudice.
I'm sorry. Dismissed with prejudice is what.
Yeah. So they can never bring this up again. I can never be charged again.
Yeah.
That means it's like, you know, it's just been a 5-year nightmare that I've got to wake up from. You know, and, but at the end of the day, guess what? It's made me a better person. I've learned a lot from it, you know, and I've gotten to see the inside. So most people don't have to go through that. I now have an inside knowledge of what the prison system's like, what it's like to go through a federal trial when it says United States versus your name. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more frightening than seeing the world's most powerful government, you know, take you to court and strip everything from you. And, you know, I had lost hope for a while. I didn't think that I was going to get vindicated at all. And I just started accepting the fact that, you know what, I'm not going to get a pardon. And I just need to learn to live life, as a multi-felon domestic terrorist. So I, you know, I'm working on starting a new business. All this stuff's going, and then this happens and drops on me, and it's just, it's surreal. I don't even believe it's actually happening. So I keep pinching myself, and I'm still waiting on it to like fully hit me. You know, my girlfriend, she's breaking down crying throughout the day. My mom, I haven't heard her crying forever, and she's, you know, I spoke to her on the phone yesterday, and to hear her cry like that, it just, you know, it feels good, but it eats away at you. You know, we needed a win.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
We've been without a win for a while. And yep. It's surprising, you know, what people aren't going to are not going to believe is, you know, Harmony Dillon, she reached out to Enrique, said something's coming down the pipe tomorrow. You guys are going to be very happy. Then we get that news, and she said the person to thank for this all was Todd Blanche, that he actually is the one that pushed it through.
Wow. Yeah, and that actually is very surprising, because he seemed like, you know, anybody who spoke out against anything, he didn't, you know, he's already publicly spoken out against Alex Jones. But it, I guess Pam Bondi was holding this up at the end of the day. She was the one in the way saying, no, we're just going to leave these little tentacles stuck to these guys, so they have to go with this for the rest of their life, because all they did was do what the president asked, to go peacefully and patriotically, go to the Capitol and let your voices be heard. And, you know, for doing that, you got fired upon, you know, rubber bullets. There was tear gas. It just turned into mayhem. And not to mention, we had a black DoorDash driver place two bombs, right? Isn't that what the government also said? So, I mean, all this craziness that has been going on. And finally, you do get some real, you're not necessarily getting restitution, but you're getting to start it at zero instead of being, you know, 6 miles back at the starting line.
Well, so, you know, I'm pretty sure I told you this a while back, but I guess maybe 6 months ago, 7 months ago, the VA office in DC called me, and it was the secretary of the VA, Doug Collins. And she goes, he'd like to talk to you. We saw you had some complaints online about, you know, your benefits and things like that. So she patches me through, and he tells me, he goes, look, without a pardon, there's nothing I can do. You can't go to the VA. I'm sorry. You're not going to get paid. He goes, you know, if by miracle you know, everything gets vacated like it happened yesterday, then you will get back paid. So
wow,
this is what I have coming to me now. I have 4 years at 100% disability back pay coming to me. The full restoration of my rights, as a military veteran with honors, you know, Purple Heart.
You're going to get your medals back as well, right?
Yep. Everything.
Wow. Congratulations.
Access to the VA for the first time. I can go see a dentist in 5 years.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be that person, but you know, I'm getting that money guaranteed. Then now that it's been vacated and they've dismissed it based on the fact that they said that there was so much negligence and so much corruption in the prosecution of us, it's $10,000 a day for a legal, detainment. So $10,000 a day times 4 years. You get that as well. Then you get, other stuff, a few other things I've got to look into. But then also we are suing the DOJ for $200 million. And it's weird because the day before yesterday, before we got the good news, the new judge over our civil case says that our case has merit. And we haven't heard that before. You know, it's always been juking and jiving. So I think she knew what was about to happen. But this completely gives us the ability to win that. And things are going to look good, you know.
It sounds like they're trying to go for a settlement, is what this is. It looks like it's a, hey, y'all drop the charges, and that's probably what they're going to try to do. Say, y'all drop the charges. We're giving you this olive branch, but you know, I think go with what you can get and what you can prove, especially with the way this whole thing was railroaded from start to finish, the demonization afterwards, the continued demonization by the press. You know, as the Proud Boys, who were just a group who was, you know, defending people's right to have speech in this world, because the cops weren't doing their job. That's why the Proud Boys actually came into being, essentially.
I mean, we were formed in tear gas, you know, like we saw these protests being, these protesters, you know, or Trump supporters or whatever being attacked, simply for wanting to hear you know, Donald Trump go speak at an event back in 2015-16. And we saw people being sucker punched and attacked at restaurants with their children and eggs thrown at them and you know, ganged up on and beat up in parking lots. And, you know, we said, you know what, we're able-bodied men. We love this country and we believe that everyone should have the right to go peacefully assemble and listen to a potential presidential candidate speak and see what he has to say and what he has to offer. So, you know, in their chaos, we were born. And, you know, they gave life to us and it pisses them off because, you know, they don't want the truth out there. They don't want men who are healthy and in good shape out there standing up against these illegal aliens that are coming in here that they manufacture, open these borders, bring them in and then have them attack American citizens. They don't like seeing, you know, men stand up and share a message of, you know, dangerous freedom, which means living your life to the fullest and being free and understanding your rights and talking to people about your rights. And, you know, it's like a muscle. If a muscle is not used, it starts to deteriorate and it shrinks. And it's the same thing with our rights. When we stop using our rights and we start letting the government have a little bit more of it and we take that muscle away from us, we deteriorate. So people need to understand that our rights are just like a muscle. We've got to continue to use them and be not afraid to use them and understand what all the rights are. So we're continuously using them and not giving that government an inch because they always try to take a mile.
Yeah, that is true. And sitting there listening, you know, I've known you for years. You know, if you're getting all this money from the government, I know one thing, you can afford a really nice ping pong table and I can come down to Florida and we can relive some of the old days of after work going to the bar and drinking a couple brews and playing ping pong for hours.
Oh man, I miss ping pong. I've been telling Angela about that. I love playing ping pong. I mean, there were times when I was in the Army in El Paso, I was in a leg cast. After I'd had my knee surgery and I'm out there hopping on one leg, just whooping dudes in tournaments, man. I love playing ping pong.
Yeah. And you know, hey, I hope you get as much money as you can get out of these guys because really.
Are we going to get $200 million between the five of us? Hell no. These people are cheap.
Right.
But if we at least get like a million or so, hey, I'm okay with that. Look, that's a nice Harley I can get.
What? And, you know, you could buy a nice house with that. You can put a down payment on a house. You could, get some land, you know, live your life, get the pursuit of happiness. That's what this, you know, country's all about. And also, you know, continue to let people know how your story and how the things you've gone through, because here's one of the big things that we haven't even talked about yet. When you were going to prison and going through all this stuff, you really did turn to Jesus and the Lord and really started praying and become more of a religious person. I know Darren McBreen was telling me all the time. He's like, man, Joe's definitely changed from all this. He's become, and you weren't a bad person before, but he's like, he's become a better person.
Yeah. You know, and I've told people this. I've always been pretty open about my faith and the ups and downs in it. You know, I was very, you know, I wouldn't say religious. I don't like that because religion's a man-made thing. But, you know, I was more spiritual in a sense. I believed in God. I prayed. And then after I saw what I saw in combat, I really struggled with it. I struggled with it for a long time. And I had friends killing themselves, suicide. And I just saw a lack of help. And I just got to a point where I was dark and I hated God, you know. But for some reason, when this happened, instead of pushing him away, I brought him closer. And I just humbled myself and I said, you know what? I'm going to be in this room for I don't know how long alone. I'd like you to be in here with me and help me out. And God really showed me, that he was there, you know, small things. I know I've probably told this story before, but you know, when I was at the Alexandria Detention Center where I spent most of my time in solitary, you know, we would get these stale old apples, worms in them and things like that. And they opened up the bean chutes, what they call them, the metal flap where they could put the food tray into your cell. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want some freaking peaches. And the CO laughs and all the inmates that have been there for years laugh. They're like, we ain't never seen no peaches in here. Ain't nobody gonna get no peaches. They're like, watch this. I was like, you know, and I got my food. And that night I laid down flat on the ground. I said, God, show me a sign. Let me know that you're here with me. And if I know you're here with me, I'm going to get through this no matter what. However long it takes, I know I'm going to be good. And the next day the CO opens the flap and he's literally shaken by this. And he goes, there's peaches on here. And everybody was just in shock. And after that, I started a Bible study. Yeah. You know, it got everyone's attention because they didn't think it was possible. And God heard me and he showed me. And from that day forward, I was like, you know what? I'm good. And I found joy in there, and I was able to be happy in that solitude. And I thought something like that was going to drive me crazy, but God got me through it. And, you know, it does. Sometimes we have to be pulled away from all the distractions of society, the social media, the gossip, the news, the gloom and doom. And sometimes God needs to pull us aside and, you know, to remind us, you know, that we still need him and that he's going to be there for us. And that, you know, I needed that, you know, and it sucks to say that because I had to spend time away from my family, but I needed that. And God pulled me aside and said, calm down, dude, cool. Pull yourself off, chill out, and let's work on you. And you're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Yeah.
Eat a peach.
And, you know, after that, things got easier, and it became an easy thing for me. It didn't get hard again until I had to go to Talladega, where I was actually put with, you know, actual murders and criminals and stuff like that. And then here I am now. I've spent 2 years by myself, and now I'm getting thrust into this world with gangbangers and stuff like that, and learning a whole new dialogue and a whole new way to move and things like that, and watching your back and being careful what you say, because certain words you say can get you jumped or killed. Mm-hmm. You know, learning the space that you're supposed to keep around you. And that was a whole other chapter in my life, a new, you know, bump I had to get over, a new hill to conquer,
and God got me through it. You know?
Yeah, it was brutal, man. You know, I had a cellmate try to eat me. He took a chunk out of my neck and bit into me, and I was bleeding down my back, and attacked me. And, the guy was all messed up on drugs, and I had another guy trying to poison me with fentanyl all the time. And I had COs trying to get me in trouble. They would say, if you're going to leave your cell, we're going to put hard drives of child porn in there so you never get to go home. You know, and I had people actively just, they believed what they saw on the news. There were these black COs, and they thought these guys were the worst racists. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's ridiculous. I'm amazed at still how many people still fall for the media's message and what the mainstream media does and how it puts its message out towards people. And then people still buy it to this day. And on all kind of levels, and I'm actually coming up after the break. You could stay if you want to. Yeah, propaganda right there. That's how they manipulate the masses. And it's done with big brains that just sit around and figure out ways to control people and manipulate them. And one of which is fluoride in the water supply.
Yeah, people don't understand. As soon as you walk outside or as soon as you wake up, you are in an active PSYOP. Every day you are actively being PSYOPed. And if you don't understand what that is and how to counteract it, and if you don't have the intelligence to see through it and put on the glasses, like Rowdy Roddy Piper says, you know, oh, we got one that can see, you're going to be victim to that. And they are calculated. They are cold. The Democrats, the left, the right, all these people are experts. They would make, Edward Bernays blush. They would make, Goebbels blush. I mean, we have mastered the art of deception now in this country with our government and the media. So people really need to educate themselves and read more. Stay off their cell phones, stay off the TV, and read your history and read about your rights and understand what it is you have and the power that you do have as a citizen. Most people don't even understand the power that they have, and that's why they fall victim to a lot of the things that happen to them. So people need to educate themselves and take it seriously.
So you've talked with some of the other Proud Boys. Is everybody getting this same deal, or is it just to a certain number of people? I mean,
well, it was all of us that didn't get it was all of us that got charged with seditious conspiracy. So we were the ones that got screwed over the most. We're the ones that had the least amount of evidence on. They had to use people to falsify testimony. They, you know, conspired to commit perjury. You know, with Jeremy Bertino, when they were doing the FBI raids after January 6th, they found in the home he was at, weapons, and he was a prior felon. So they used those weapons to choke him into a position that he would fold and flop. And they kept going like, hey man, we can give you 20 years for these weapons, or you could be my friend and
you can say they put you up to it. You can say Trump told you to do it.
So they lied too. They lied to this guy, to Bertino. They told him that we were flipping on him.
Right. Of course.
And he goes, no, I don't believe that. But then the CIA document 1776 returns introduced, and it's dropped into Enrique Tarrio's email somehow. And we were able to prove that through it. And yes, this was a document created by our Central Intelligence Agency for this. I mean, January 6th was the magic trick. You know, over here, you have a stolen election. But then over here, January 6th was like, don't look at this. Hey, and look over here. And that's what it was. Is I call January 6th the abracadabra day. And, you know, they didn't know that that was going to happen. And they went with the flow after they saw the crowds moving. But the initial abracadabra and the bait and switch was the pipe bombs.
Yeah.
And once they saw Trump tell everybody to go to the Capitol, and they saw the amount of people that were going, they already knew, they already had a team on us, a team that was following us nonstop. So they had Proud Boys there. Great. There's one recipe for disaster in their mind. And then you've got, you know, 100,000 people moving towards the Capitol. And I think in real time at that moment, they started formulating a plan. You know, they're the government. They have mass communications. They have mass spying equipment, you know, and they already had all of our phones tapped, all of our information. They had drones overhead. I believe that there were different elements of special operations on the ground that day with earpieces, you know, getting the crowd riled up, people like Ray Epps, things like that. And they were using these individuals to foment anger. It was like the movie 1984, where it's like they're screaming at whatever, hate, 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 and they're angry. They don't know why. And that's what they were doing. These guys were in the crowd, these agent provocateurs, amping people up and showing them how to break down barriers and where to go and what the weak spots were. So
it was, and then on top of that, you have police shooting tear gas in, firing rubber bullets at people who hadn't done anything yet, who were just standing around. They're like, we're going to be here. We're going to stand here. And then, oh, you start getting hit. I even saw where I was, which was they just showed some of the video of Alex on the chairs telling people not to go in. Because we saw a group trying to go up the stairs, and we're like, don't try to go in. They're going to use that against you. And they all left, and I stood because I'm like, well, I'm going to get this. If this happens, I'm going to get this breach. Well, a group of about 13 cops in full riot gear, like they had the shoulder pads on, they had the tactical helmets, and they all had long sticks. They weren't carrying guns. They had really long sticks that were about this long. And they all walk into the crowd where they were, and they're just standing around. And all of a sudden, boom, boom. They start swinging the pole, and one of the guys grabs the pole from him and says, hey, man, stop hitting me. But, you know, oh, you grab the pole, suddenly now you're an aggressor. And so I think they realized, oh, we're not going to get these people to attack us. They're just defending themselves. So it's literally as quickly as they walked in, they just turn around and walk out. And you could just see that that's what they're trying to do. They were trying to get the crowd into a frenzy, and they got what they wanted. That's exactly what happened. At one point, you know, the people, there's that scrum in the doorway, and then people went into the Capitol, and most of which were peaceful. I would say 99% were peaceful.
Well, I mean, the government refuted, you know, so many of their claims in the middle of the trial, you know, so they had the architect of the Capitol come in. It's this guy who, is in charge of like all the restoration and anything if it breaks. And he's the one that, you know, says how much it is and finds the contractors to come in to fix it. He says that once something is initially broke, it is broken. That's it. So they blame Dominic Pozzola, my co-defendant, the guy you see right there with the gray beard and black glasses. He hits the window with a shill. What they don't show you is the Indian guy in the red MAGA hat that happened to be at all these pivotal points throughout the day, never got arrested. This guy is the first person to break the window with a 2x4. So by their own definition from the Capitol itself, the architect, once that window was broken by that gentleman, he is the person who broke it and therefore should be charged with. But instead, they go and pick Dominic Pozzola out.
Then because
they
find out he's a
Proud Boy.
Yeah.
They find out he's a Proud Boy, a new one. So they used him to get seditious conspiracy on me, Enrique, Zach, and Ethan. But then they don't even charge him with that, you know. So they used him to get in. And then they go, well, because he's not a leader, we can't charge him with seditious conspiracy. But then why'd you put him in the leader group for the trial? Because you needed that, you know. Yeah, when you see a stacking right there and holding, that was us leaving. The first time when all that stuff kicked off, I told the guys, get behind me so we don't lose each other. Let's get out of here. we get out there in the field, and then I start hearing flashbangs going off and people screaming. And I go, man, I feel bad. Because I have medical training from the military. I was like, I want to go see if anybody's hurt, if I can help. And I start helping people, and I'm moving parts of the fence. And the government says that I was breaking the fence down to throw at cops to hurt them. You know, they lied about everything. It was just, people need to hear about this and a longer setting where I can actually talk about it, you know?
Well, I have a feeling you're going to make a documentary or something about this and really get the truth out, because that's what needs to happen. We're about to go to break. We'll be right back. You stay with me for the rest of the show. I'm really proud of you, dude. You really maintained yourself, and now you're getting what's coming to you. You're getting what you deserve.
Everything I sell to you works. Obviously, that's the goal. So you get it, and you like it, and you want to get it again. Everything I sell to you, we put deep research into, and I personally use. Now, I've been promoting zeolites for decades with great sponsors, because they really work, and I'll tell you what they are. Well, Bigley, our sponsor, has a really high-quality, private-label, top-selling brand that we were able to private-label we're bringing to you right now. With the unprecedented toxins in the environment, with the chemtrailing, all the garbage in the food, it is more important than ever to take zeolites on a regular basis, but not all zeolites are created equal. This is really a high-quality zeolite. Please do your own research, and then go to theoliveshowstore.com and secure our high-quality zeolite formula. Now let's go over just some of the incredible facts. We're swimming in toxins every single day. Metals from the air, chemicals in the food and water. Your body needs help binding and eliminating this garbage before it builds up and destroys your cells. Inner zeolite detox defense. Advanced binding agent. This isn't some gimmick. Zeolite is a naturally occurring volcanic mineral with a unique cage-like crystalline structure that acts like a molecular trap. Through ion exchange and absorption, it selectively grabs positively charged toxins, heavy metals, ammonia, and other unwanted compounds while letting beneficial minerals stay put. Then it escorts them straight out of your system through your gut. Paired with folic acid, it also supports healthy mineral transport and cleaner internal environment. Users report feeling lighter, more balanced, and clear-headed with consistent daily use. Just one dose a day gives you 60 full servings of detox support. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't steer you wrong. You know that. If you love our methylene blue, if you love our bovine colostrum, if you love the other incredible products like our T3 iodine, you are going to love this zeolite detox formula. Secure yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you haven't checked out the other supplements like our methylene red that's proprietary to us, our ultramethylene blue that is on record the strongest and the best, then check it out today. And while you're there, check out the widest selection of Patriot apparel, baseball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, you name it, to spread the word of freedom in America and worldwide. Bottom line, thanks for keeping us on the air over the years. We're facing some of the biggest challenges ever to stay on the air. But thanks to you standing with us as our partners, the InfoWar, we are stronger than ever. So thank you so much for your support. Now please visit theoliveshowstore.com today. And if you want to get massive discounts on all the supplements, sign up as a subscriber, lock in your orders in the future. You can cancel any time. So all you're really locking in is the massive discounts. Same thing with VIPs. Cancel any time. $30 a month. Get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything, theoliveshowstore.com, you should be a VIP. Thank you so much for your support. Now secure your zeolite formula now at theoliveshowstore.com. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. To take 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
segment of The War Room. I'm joined with a war hero, friend of Michael Hastings, and political prisoner, Joe Biggs, who's finally getting Josephus Bigglesworth is his ex. I hadn't seen that. I saw actually yesterday, it was late last night, I saw that you had posted, the U.S. government has vacated my charges and dropped it all. Now I'm a free man. I can have my guns back. We didn't even talk about that. You get your guns back, travel the world, and get your military benefits. And on top of that, they're going to pay you, I guess, wrongful imprisonment, some back pay there, plus your back pay that you weren't getting for having disability. So the title of this document is Unopposed Motion to Vacate Convictions and Remained for Dismissal with Prejudice. That's ironclad right there. That's pretty, that's about as ironclad as you're going to get from the government. Let me tell you.
It's probably one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. Like, I keep reading it over and over and I just salivate.
And you've got this document in your possession, right?
Yeah.
And it's signed.
It's like, I keep like going, is this real? Like, is this like a,
what's the back like say? What does it say?
Is it? I feel like it's like a yeah, that right there really blew my mind. Like the DOJ Rapid Response posted this today. Yesterday, the Department of Justice filed
bring that
a motion,
back up, guys.
You know,
bring that back up. They're going to bring it back up. There it is. Go ahead.
Yeah, filed a motion to vacate the convictions of several Americans who had received clemency from President Trump. This ends these years-long Biden-era weaponized prosecutions. President Trump demanded we stop the two-tiered injustice, and we are delivering. No more rigged systems. So, you know, that shows that Trump did have some knowledge of this as well, so that's kind of cool. That actually, that meant a lot to see that today.
I bet.
I saw that. I was scrolling.
And I tell you, what, the first day of his, when he got in office, one of the first things he did was get you guys released. He didn't pardon you, but he got you basically vacated your sentence where you could be released from jail. And then a lot of other people got pardons.
You know, early that day when the ceremony started, the warden's office, they contact me. I get brought up to the warden's office and they go, hey, if you were to go home today and get a pardon, because they're saying they're going to pardon people, if you were going to go home today, where would you go? And I give my mom's address, and I'm being told the whole day it's a pardon. That's what they're being told at the prison.
Right.
Then something changed in the middle of the night, and I'm thinking that might have been Bondi getting to Trump, because she seems to – she put on a good show acting like she's all for us, but starting to see other things.
She's a deep
state. It's hard to know who you can trust and who you can't, because, you know, like I said, that PSYOP is so strong.
Yep.
You know, here we are being told that Todd Blanch has been the one blocking it, but it's not, you know, and –
Maybe he had a change of heart, or maybe somebody talked to him and said, hey, listen, we wanted Pam to do this, and she put a kink in the wheel. You better undo this right now, or you're next. So it could have been something like that.
Either way, I'm just glad it happened. You know, God's good, and, you know, I'll take whatever I can get. And, you know, this is something my family's been waiting on forever.
Yeah. Well, I'm so happy it happened for you. I saw the news last night. I was like, this is great. And then I was texting you this morning. I had your old number, and McBreen calls me up and he goes, hey, you got to get Biggs on today. I said, I've been texting him. He won't text me back. He's like, oh, you don't have his new number. So I'm glad we got your new number, got you in. I want to pivot to this. This was something I wanted to do yesterday. I want you to stay on for this, but, I tweeted this on the 13th. I said, I found a positive to the Iran war. There may be more positives coming out in the future, but this one to me is a big positive. Because there's a substance that they put in your water. They call it fluoride. It's not even really fluoride. But apparently in Baltimore, they're having to lower the amount of fluoride they put in the water, which is part of the PSYOP, too. That's the chemical PSYOP that goes in your head and makes you eat. It messes with your third eye. It makes you more susceptible to cancers. It gives you brittle bones. It doesn't really help you with your teeth, even though that's what they say it is, because what they're putting is not even really fluoride, which is calcium fluoride is what they is actually beneficial for your teeth in very small amounts. But the city of Baltimore had to lower this out. Guys, let's play the Baltimore clip. It's clip 3. Let's go to that one real quick.
Supply chain issues are forcing the city Department of Public Works to temporarily reduce the level of fluoride it puts in drinking water. So this affects Baltimore City residents and some people in Baltimore and Howard counties who get city water. There are no regulations on the level of fluoride in water. DPW Director Matthew Garbark says the city remains committed to providing safe, high-quality drinking water to all its residents. The drinking water will remain safe, and it will meet all federal and state water quality standards.
Yeah, because they're actually putting more fluoride than what you need. Because, you know, you got to keep the people of Baltimore easily controlled so they can, you know, when you want to rile them up, you can rile them up and get them to riot.
Well, it's the number one ingredient for Idiocracy, you know, like, you know, when you watch that movie, it's all these dumb zombies walking around laughing at fart movies or a movie that just shows a butt. And that's really like, think about like where we're at in society. You have large groups of kid twerking. Mm-hmm. And they're all, oh, this is funny. Oh, this is great. Oh man, this is great. Then they start shooting each other. It's like they're dumbing us down to such an extent that we find like these things interesting. We won't read books, but we'll watch these 60 second or 30 second reels on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's just other people doing dumbed down stuff back to back, lighting farts on fire, you know, dropping frozen turkeys into a vat of hot oil and exploding and catching on fire. And I literally feel like that's what it is. It's like Brando's everywhere. We've been force fed Brando. It's what plants crave, you know.
And the number one movie was ass.
So, you know, Mike was ahead of his time.
Big time. And a fluoride has a lot to do with this. People don't realize that this is an industrial waste that they put in your water, because if they were trying to dump it somewhere, they'd have to go through a bunch of hoops. So they're like, oh, this is good for you. We're going to put it in your water, because your teeth and your stomach need, to be strong and fortified. So here's an article from 2 years ago. Fluoride at twice the recommended limit linked to lower IQ in kids. It's an AP, and it's from a study that they did. But now 2 years later, we got this story that comes along and says, fluoride in your drinking water has no effect on IQ or brain function, major study shows. So 2 years later, they come out with a new study that's like, hey, fluoride isn't bad. Isn't bad for you at all. But what they fail to look at, and they've changed the terminology. So now you have the SDS, okay, which is the safety data sheet. It used to be called the MSDS, which is the material data safety sheet. And here, and guys, get that B-roll ready of the fluoride plant that we shot hidden camera back in 2010. I shot this hidden camera footage. And so here's hydrofluorosilicic acid. And they say, oh, it's toxicity is a category 4. So it may cause burns, irritation, linings of the mouth. Swallowing in small amounts, it could be a serious health hazard. And they also say it's an acute toxicity 3. If it gets on your skin, it's bad for you. It's not good to inhale. Now, what it used to be was the MSDS. And here they tried to change it here, but they didn't change this graphic. And guys, go back to where we saw the tank where it says 4. 4 is the worst number you can have for human reactivity. They're like, this can cause death if you get it. I think it's like 125 in that clip. Yeah, there you go. There's this fluoride tank. We're actually in the room where they put the fluoride in. Boom, you can see the 4. Right there, that's what they're putting in your water, and they're putting it in at 9 gallons an hour. It's totally disgusting. I'll give you the word on this before we go to an interview. This is an old interview Alex Jones did with Dr. Paul Conant. It's a 15-minute video, so we got like a minute left here.
Yeah, that's some creepy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my buddy, or my cousin, I should say, Chase, he works in a lot of medical stuff, and he's always sending me stuff. He's like, this is the worst stuff ever, and they're throwing it in everything. And, you know, they have these little city council meetings and people are complaining about it, and they bring in these little experts and they're like, no, you guys are all wrong. You probably watch InfoWars if you think that. And it's like, you don't have to watch InfoWars. You go look at the Harvard medical reviews and stuff where they talk yep. about how dangerous it is. I mean, InfoWars isn't the only place it's talking about.
We're they're just showing you the information. That's
they're
all
the only ones beating on it and trying to get it out there. But there are legit colleges and medical universities out there that have been talking about the horrors of this stuff for quite some time.
Yep.
You know, and the fact that people still think it's good, you know, I can tell a lot by a person when I go to their home. When I look at the toothpaste, and I always look to see if they've got like fluoride free toothpaste.
There you go.
I look to see if they've got the filters on there.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff we use, we don't have any of that in there. You know,
you got to do it. Exactly. You got to filter your fluoride out of your water. That's the only way to go. Hey, we're going to go to this clip now. This is about a 15-minute interview. Alex Jones and Dr. Conant. This is a biochemist. Joe Biggs, I salute you, brother. I'm so glad everything's working out for you. This is great news. InfoWars lives forever. Thanks for being with me today.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Dr. Paul Conant dropped by our studios to update our viewers on the amazing success that scientists are having worldwide in their fight to educate governments and the population to the deadly toxic waste poison, fluoride, being added to our water.
This has been an 8-year effort on our part to demonstrate that they cannot introduce this sulfuryl fluoride for the treatment of food and warehouses and processing plants because our kids are already exceeding the reference dose, the safe dose.
Dr. Paul H. Conant is our guest. And he is an environmental chemist and, of course, a toxicologist and has been a prominent critic in the U.S. and around the world since he first researched exactly what the so-called substance fluoride is doing, being added to our water but also being used as a pesticide. And we had him in here just 4 or 5 months ago in studio with us. And since then, so many positive things have happened. And I wanted to get him on to discuss. The EPA has proposed a phase-out of fluoride-based pesticides. That's the New York Times. Other reports, U.S. wants to reduce fluoride in drinking water. The government's had to continue to admit that internal ingestion of fluoride does nothing for your teeth. It's only topical, and I've made the point many times, it's like drinking sunscreen instead of just putting it topically on. And so there's major cracks in the facade. He's just returned to the United States from a trip to Australia, New Zealand, and other nations. He just got back last night, and he's here in Austin, Texas, tomorrow to speak to the Austin City Council. So positive things are happening all over the world, and he's here to give us a report on that. Dr. Conant, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you, Alex. You know, water fluoridation is not the most important issue confronting our planet, but it's the easiest one to end. All you need is a strong wrist to turn off the tap. Once the tap is turned off, it's over. But you need the political will to turn the tap off. And to get that political will, we need people informed and we need people organized. Thanks to you, millions of people around the world are being informed on this issue. And thanks to fluoride-free Texas, thousands of people in the city of Austin are being informed about the issue and organized, being organized on the issue. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that Austin, Texas will be our next big victory. A few days ago, it was finalized that Calgary in Alberta, that's 1.1 million people, are now going to be fluoride free. And after 20 years. And people in Waterloo, Ontario, voted it out. So the squeeze is on Ontario. And don't forget that most of British Columbia and most of Quebec, the wings of Canada, are already fluoridation-free. And we're squeezing on Alberta with Calgary out, Edmonton maybe next, and then we're squeezing on Ontario. If Ontario was to go, if Toronto was to go, or even Ottawa was to go, I think it would be the end of fluoridation in Canada. Meanwhile, we got a very good organizing group in New Zealand. FAN New Zealand is excellent, and FAN Australia has just been formed. So there's a fight back everywhere. And then a few days ago, I was in Dublin, which is mandatory fluoridation. Because of American pressure back in the 1960s, Ireland has mandatory fluoridation. It's the odd man out in Europe. Only three countries in Europe have any fluoridation at all. England at 10%, Spain at 3%, and Ireland at 73%. But lots of people in Ireland don't want this fluoride in their water. But many other people don't know it's there.
Now, you've been talking about some of the big cities that are going fluoride-free. I've seen reports like towns outside Austin, like Lago Vista, having it removed. Other cities not putting it in. Big fights in places like San Diego, where they've had to bring in supposed private money to do it. I briefly want to give people a recap of just some of the basics of the danger of fluoridation and how discredited it's gotten and what it signifies for you that this facade of you people are crazy is beginning to fall in, because I've seen the reports of the majority of government scientists and unions sending in their own letters, toxicologists, environmental chemists, saying this is insane, the increases in bone cancer, the fracturing of the bones, the dental fluorosis. I mean, it's such a hoax.
But before we go there, you also gave me some very positive news earlier when we were talking about what's happening in the state of Georgia.
Yes, some very prominent black leaders. Andrew Young, former ambassador to the UN, former mayor of Atlanta, whose father was a dentist and for years was pro-fluoridation, came out with a public statement a few days ago calling for an end to mandatory fluoridation in Georgia. And the reason is that they're now finding that black children are much more sensitive, appear to be much more sensitive to fluoride for a number of factors. For example, the rates of dental fluorosis, which is caused by fluoride, mottling of the teeth, is greater for black children and Hispanic children than it is for white children, but the parents are not being warned. You know, in terms of the basics, probably the single most basic fact that anybody needs to know is the level of fluoride in mother's milk. You know, what was developed over millions of years by evolution, Mother Nature, however you saw the development of humankind, this is baby's first meal, which is designed to be the best delivery of all the things that the body needs, right? And it's practically none. The level of fluoride in mother's milk is 0.004 parts per million, which means a bottle-fed baby is getting, in a fluoridated town like Austin, is getting 250 times more fluoride than nature intended. And then you have these lunatics, these people that are more interested in money than protecting our babies or our health, selling for baby, water, so-called purified water, which has fluoride added to it. So they're deliberately giving babies 250 times more fluoride than nature intended.
And they push it in the public schools. They've got dozens of brands. They've got it in packages, little school buses on the side. You go to grocery stores or baby stores, there's giant end caps. They've got recordings playing. Your baby needs it. They've got to have it. But you just broke down the facts, and I've read the statistics. Go over some of them. Am I correct, doctor, that the studies show these different fluoride types have a much more adverse effect on babies and the developing?
Yes, it's the first year, which is the most sensitive year. According to government-funded researchers from Iowa, it's the first year in which the baby's at greatest risk at developing dental fluorosis. And we've got a huge problem now in the United States. 41% of children between the age of 12 and 15 now have dental fluorosis. Now, that's all American kids. That's an average of kids living in fluoridated communities and non-fluoridated.
And that's up from?
From
10%.
10% was where they began in 1945. That's what they thought. We can fluoridate the water, lower at one part per million, lower tooth decay, and we'll keep the dental fluorosis at 10% in its very mild form. Now we have 41%, probably 50% in fluoridated communities, and 3.6% of those have moderate or severe dental fluorosis.
And from the studies I've read, but correct me if I'm wrong, this is the surface effect. And so this is what we're seeing, but the studies on IQs, on bones, cancer.
You can't see them unless you do a study. You can't walk down a road and tell if someone's had brain damage, whether their IQ's lowered, whether they earlier onset of puberty or any of these other things. You can only find that was caused or not by fluoride if you do the studies. And we're just not doing the studies in this country. We're not doing any studies to see if there's a relationship between fluoridation and arthritis, even though we know the first symptoms of fluoride poisoning of the bone is just like arthritis. We're not looking to see if there's a relationship between fluoridation and the massive increase of underactive thyroid gland, even though doctors used to give fluoride tablets to lower thyroid function in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Very low doses, by the way. We're not looking to see if there's relationship with fluoridation and lowered IQ, even though we have 24 studies now from China, India, Iran, and Mexico, which shows that moderate exposure to fluoride is lowering IQ in children.
Well, that was my next point. You're saying we're not studying it because this is the home of fluoride where it began. You live here in the United States as well, but all these other countries have, and we know that the teeth turning into pot-eaten, you know, yellow wrecks, that's only the surface effect.
That's right.
What about glands in the brain?
The pineal gland, this little gland between the two hemispheres of the brain, it concentrates fluoride because it's a calcifying tissue just like the teeth and the bones. And the researcher that did this, somebody I've met several times, Dr. Jennifer Luke in England, she also showed that animals lowered melatonin production. And this pineal gland produces melatonin, which is like a biological clock. It controls the start of different things or end of different. It controls the onset of puberty, aging, jet lag, which I know something about, and sleep patterns. So it's an incredibly important gland, and yet no country, no fluoridating country, has attempted to reproduce her work, and it's not.
But strangely enough, in the studies I've seen, levels of fluoride are known to accelerate puberty and basically aging, and then we wonder why, amongst the other hormones and things that are in the meat, that our girls are going into puberty at now not just 6 or 7 or 8, but yes, 3 years old in many cases, you see the areas of the world where fluoridation is going on. We have these hot spots of the boys being effeminate and the women going into puberty earlier.
But the point is, from a scientific perspective, if you don't look, you don't find. And the absence of study does not mean the absence of harm. And unfortunately, what is being done in the United States, particularly by the Center of Disease Control, is to essentially say, oh, we're not finding any effects at one part per million. Well, you're not looking. I know you're a fan of Monty Python, as I am, and we had Dr. Peter Cooney, who's the chief dental officer for Canada. He went into Dryden, Ontario, shortly before they voted fluoridation out. That's another victory. He says, I've walked down your high street today, and I didn't see anybody growing horns, and you've been fluoridated for 40 years. So that's the level of research in Canada. You know, come in, John Cleese. Well, John, what are we going to do to study this fluoridation thing? How can we demonstrate to the public?
He doesn't have any horns. He's fine.
We'll have a whole department. We'll have a specialist in deer horns, moose horns, goat horns, bull horns, cow horns.
Rabbit horns.
We'll cover the country. And you...
If we see horns growing, we'll cut that fluoride.
That's it, John. Jolly good, you got it. You got it, hold on.
What about fork and tails as well?
Yes, your fork tails, absolutely. And by the way, John, what do you think about getting rid of this hazardous waste from the phosphate fertilizer industry?
Well, we'll just put it in the water, and if they complain, we'll say, if Easter bunnies spontaneously appear, then we'll take it out.
So you got it. I mean, can you think of anything more bizarre that the hazardous waste of the superphosphate fertilizer industry, they can't dump it into the sea by international law, they can't dump it locally because it's too concentrated, but if someone buys it from them, it becomes a product. And once it's a product, then they can put it in the drinking water and tell us it's good for our teeth.
Well, expanding on that, I mean, you say they haven't studied it here, but there have been studies all over the world, and there have been studies of what higher levels of fluoride do, and we know, yes, it's deadly poison and it attacks the body at every level. I mean, you've spoken about how it's really an adjuvant. It also accelerates all the other toxins, and if it's something that bioaccumulates, then we do know it's bad.
It's crazy. Well, first of all, you know, going back to real basic common sense stuff, the whole notion of using the public drinking water to deliver medicine is crazy, because once you put a medicine in the water, you can't control the dose. You can control the concentration at the waterworks, but you can't control how much water people drink, and you can't control how much fluoride they're getting from other sources, so you can't control the dose. Ask any pharmacist. This is sheer lunacy.
But that's my next point. You were earlier, when we were talking on the radio, breaking down how they gas the food with fluoride, and they also have systems where they spray it on.
Yeah.
And many of the doctors I've talked to over the years said, look, water's bad,
yeah,
but this is where they're really putting the toxic waste. Well, now, going back to January
10th,
absolutely, of this year, 4 or 5 months ago, EPA proposes phase out of fluoride-based pesticide, because we're dealing with hundreds of times what they're putting in the water. But the fact that they're now starting to back off on this, why do you think that's happening?
Well, it was an amazing victory for the Fluoride Action Network with help from the Environmental Working Group and Beyond Pesticides. This has been an 8-year effort on our part to demonstrate that they cannot introduce this sulfuryl fluoride for the treatment of food and warehouses and processing plants, because our kids are already exceeding the reference dose.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals,
and the pineal gland and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out. They were put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product, it's supposed to be available right now at thealexshow.com. It's T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexshow.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexshow.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.